There you go, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 29, 2018. It is 9 a.m. And the Josephine County Board of Commissioners is convening for an administrative workshop in the board's conference room. Present this morning is Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Moore, and Commissioner DeYoung. And item number one is legal counsel 1A, number 2018-005, in the matter of adopting administrative policy and procedure E5, marijuana use on county property. Augustus is present, and also Pat Ellis. Thank you.
Well, all this does is do exactly what the board asks in establishing policy for marijuana use on county property. What we have is that it's, still illegal under federal law, that the use of marijuana or marijuana products in public is unlawful, and that includes marijuana edibles, and the rescission of the Cole Memorandum, which was a memo that placed low priority on the enforcement of federal marijuana laws against businesses and organizations that comply with state law.
I think in the future it might be beneficial for a redline version. It's not a long thing, but getting it right at the meeting to just know exactly where things have been changed might be helpful. Everything I read on the order is great. Like, you included everything and ordered it just right. So
it's just the two, it's the third and fourth whereas are new.
Anything on the second, third page?
Well, that's what we wanted to talk to you about, because we just we didn't really remove anything except the title that had the events.
Yeah.
And we have not actually heard back yet from Wally as to the any changes that he might think were necessary on this.
You guys need to, can you come up and take a look at it?
Yeah, we didn't send it to Sarah yet because we were waiting to hear back from Wally. So. And I know she wanted to see it. But we didn't really include anything about some of Sarah's concerns based on the fact that we weren't sure that if the board had actually wanted that in the policy or you only wanted it to change.
My one question that I have is the word use. And taking the word use out and just marijuana on county property. Because it's not just use, but also possession, distribution. So if we said the title is use, they're like, I'm not using, I'm just exchanging, I'm just bartering or something. So if it's simply marijuana on county property, and then the purpose to establish policy related to the use of marijuana, the marijuana products, the possession of, the distribution of on county properties as well. I thought we had cut that use word out yesterday too, not just marijuana theme, but just, I could be wrong, but I think that...
I don't think we talked about that, but it's a great point. Your use or possession, I think you want to put both.
Okay.
Especially for county property, I think that possession, that's a fair thing to put in.
Yeah.
I suppose it was my understanding that we were also dealing with being in public generally also, because as we're probably well aware that possession in public is legal. Up to a certain amount for both marijuana and marijuana items. So,
but use is not.
Okay.
So somebody can walk down the street with marijuana in their pocket and then be stopped by the police and then have that be taken out and done as part of a search, for instance, and they will not be prosecuted and it will be given back to them.
Use or distribution? I mean, use or exchange on county property instead of possession? I mean, if they're legally able to possess it on public property.
I don't think anybody's going to walk around with this in their back pocket. Really, what we're looking for is the use. I think that's the nexus, right, and point of the problem.
What you had last year was somebody opening their van and displaying all of their clones and wanting to sell actual plants. And so that is something that...
But you also had the product on the barter table.
Yeah.
So and both of those would not be use, it's just distribution.
Well, sale in public is also legal.
It is illegal.
Yeah, sale in public is also already illegal under state law.
I just think you have a real tough time with possession because you're going to get, that's my medicine.
Gifting is not illegal, actually. Yeah. As long as it's if it's for any form of consideration, whether that be good or services or money, it is illegal. However, if somebody on the street were across the street and handed marijuana to somebody else for nothing.
So free samples would be allowed under this policy.
Mm. Exchange.
And as I know as a parole officer, marijuana is free.
Right.
You ask how much you pay for it. It didn't cost me anything.
Well, it says transfer already in there.
Mm-hmm. Bottom of 2.0. Mm-hmm.
And in 1.
I just want to make sure that we're encompassing, with us removing yesterday, or mm-hmm. Tuesday, whichever day that was, because it's all a blur this week, with that we didn't have an unintended consequence of, I mean, the idea is on county property, we're not engaging in use or transfer of product that is not legal federally, and it's and families, various things. It's kind of one, it's restricted on age, it's, you know, and access. So just being intentional that we're not taking something out unintentionally that we didn't mean to yesterday.
Okay. So in terms of that, I think that really highlighting use and possession would probably fit that bill. Use, possession, I mean, it does have transfer. I mean, this will be largely up to the board's discretion. We will make sure that we'll try to be as all-encompassing as possible.
The person who's going to need to know this backwards and forwards, I guess, is using it as a backstop are the managers. Mm-hmm. The public is not going to know this very well, but they're going to know that they shouldn't have it on county property, and that's the deal. And she's going to say, "Hey, I have this, and this is what's my rationale for saying you need to put it away or you need to leave, or we're going to confiscate it or whatever." You know, that's so. This has to be really clear for people like Sarah, Peggy, maybe Julie in a mass gathering element or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think the possession of it is a valid thing, and we include that, and I think we're good to go. What I don't want to do is, this has already been like a month or so, and really the only reason we're still here is the managers need something that's very clear to them what they can and cannot do, should do, when there's an event on county property. And so if we can get that cleared up today, and we won't be moving it to next week, but I don't want this to be going on for a month. We've got people who are applying for events on the parks, so... Mm-hmm. In the future, every correspondence, I think, that's coming forth, we don't have time to wait for Wally or whatever. The reason we're here is because of, and I'm not blaming you, I'm saying we're going to get it right for Peggy and Sarah. Those are the people that it has to work for and be clear about. So.
What I'm still unclear about is, it seems like if, I'll pick on you, Simon shows up to my event and possesses marijuana, that the event loses its bond. And that we
have
still
that discretion.
Okay, so would it then just be up to me as department within the contract for me to put in the stuff I've talked about at the last meeting, such as the advertising piece, as
yes.
far as what I want their security to do
yes.
in reaction?
Because I think this needs to go for every event.
Okay.
And you need to tailor your contract specifically to those events that you see
okay. Perfect.
The potential liability for. That's the way I see it. Like we just, you know, we crossed a very wide net with this. You refine yours based on the potential liability, and I think keeping the bond at the rate, whatever it is, 500 is fine.
Yeah, no less.
You also have the discretion with every contract you do to propose to change that. I mean, we do that based on different contracts that we have. If there's a potential liability of something being more than that $1 million of liability, we can kick it up to 2. And the bond rates should reflect that. You should have the discretion to propose those in the contract. So
I have no problem with any of the user. How are we settled out on possession? That possession is in here that you can't possess it on county property? Because I think you're going to be challenged on that every time you turn around.
We're already challenged on that. We're a campground.
Okay.
People are coming to recreate, but
it seems
it's not that we allow it.
Right.
We don't tell people that they can bring it and
possession is
use
a problem
it.
When we're made aware of it being a problem.
Yes.
That's when possession gets to a threshold for me. There could be people in this room right now with possession of it. We don't know because it's not a problem. It's only a problem when, you know, JJ whips out a pipe and starts whatever. That's a problem. That's when possession crosses the line. So I hear the specifics of it, but it's the practical application of the manager in the field who have to say, yeah, it says right now, right here, you can't possess it. And that's those are the rules. So you either need to put it away.
So by putting it in here, we're going to discourage possession. And then if somebody says, it's my medicine, just say, okay.
Then you may leave.
Confiscation is
yeah. Or confiscate.
Well, yes, well, you can't consume your medicine.
You actually can't legally confiscate someone's medicine.
Right. Well. So, well, I mean, yeah, that's something that I think we need to probably flesh out.
You can't consume it, even if it's medicine in public. Go in your trailer, right. Go in your tent, do what you got to do.
So can't use it in public.
Even your tent, though, would be probably construed as public space.
It sure seems like it. Yeah.
So.
The only concern I have is then we do also get into the confiscation brings in search and seizure, you know, constitutional rights as far as due process, receipts, compensation, all that other kind of stuff. It adds a whole element.
Well, they're not doing it. They're going to call law enforcement.
Well, law enforcement's not usually going
to
respond, unfortunately, but that brings up a good point as to what I'm directing events to do, and so we can't direct events to confiscate it. We can direct them to have the people leave.
I think that's where it needs to stop.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it needs to stop.
Because once we start taking people's property, there's a due process element of... constitutional rights. So it was the title just saying marijuana use on county property. Somebody would say, well, I'm not using, and then they not think that it. So I just was thinking that by taking the word use out, just marijuana on county property, and then the basis of it is in the body of the purpose in the general that talks about use, possession, transfer, all that other kind of stuff.
Okay. So we've got a couple corrections to make before we
take use out?
I think, if you just say marijuana on county property.
Okay.
Pretty broad.
Supposed to be.
But it's, and then, I think it's...
Fine. So it's in three places that I see so far. It would be in the title here, and it is hereby added, or ordered, and then at the title on the second page. Right. Otherwise, those are the only... And then I think it meets the purpose that we were discussing.
Okay. When do you want to put this on? As soon as possible?
Following
WBS 2 weeks from yesterday? Okay.
But we're also going to include relating to the use and possession.
The possession.
Well, I didn't know if you needed to because you pointed out the last line of 1.0 says, when such events may involve marijuana or marijuana products or their use, production, sale, packaging, it doesn't say possession.
Right.
So, yeah, you were right.
Okay. Do
you want to add to
what you had there.
And it's under 2.0 as well. So.
And we'll take care of Sarah's concerns more in her individual contract.
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so if we get these corrections back, make sure that everything's all up and up and we'll be ready to go for 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Very often yesterday. Thank you very much for your work on that.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Item number 2A is community development. Ms. Belcher, Economic Development Fund requested. Master Fund is 2A1.
Mr. Chair, can we take... 2A2 first, since Melissa is here?
Sure, that'd be great. No objection from the board. I think that'll be just funky dory.
Can we learn what 2A2 is?
Yes, last week you had instructed us to bring a draft just for discussion to the board on Thursday.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
So, Augustus,
we need to get the order right first. We don't have an order directing the draft. So, no, we're not I think that's a cart before the horse.
Okay, we're just doing what we were instructed
know,
to do.
But so. It was predicated it was on also yesterday's approval.
Yesterday going forward, yeah.
So let's hold off on that. If I can suggest that.
Yeah, I think we didn't pass the order yesterday, but I think this is
very good efficient home. Work, but we're not there yet.
Okay, it's. I think it may also influence your order as well, but that's.
Great. Well, maybe we just take it and we review it.
I think we need to
spend a lot of time.
Take it and review it. It is not an ordinance yet before us, but I think think that there's probably some information here on where you want to go that would guide the order, because we had a lot of issues with what people thought they were, what we were doing here, and I think this may clear up a lot of it. So
we just want to let you know this is a draft. Augustus is working on the final wording of this draft that eventually we would present to you. But just so you know, this is kind of our thought process of where we could see things working.
Great. Awesome.
And that's really what we want to share with you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That's good exercise. Thank you. Okay, so that was two.
Yep.
And now we're back to one?
Yep.
Is that okay, right?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. Okay, so...
Should we have Larry up here because it says airport
should.
10?
Yep.
Larry, if you've Mr. Graves, if you could please come up. As he slides along. Gosh, the guy looking good. Dapper.
I've got a cruise along.
Got my logging shirt on.
Okay, so this is an economic development fund request, and it's from airports. And I think you're all aware of the project. It's for the airport matching grant funds, for some grants that Larry had applied for. I had a concern whether or not there was enough money in the budget, but Arthur has sent me a revised budget showing that there is funds in there, that there are sufficient funds in there. My only concern with this one at this point would be that we're using economic development funds to pay for generators, and to me that's not an economic development matter, but Larry can expound further on that. The other thing was I just wanted to add that the CEDC, the City-County Economic Development Collaborative, the county put $50,000 into that account for this year, and so did the city, so there's $100,000 sitting there. And that group had made the recommendation, as you know, to the city council and to the commissioners that the city and the county start working together on certain projects, one of them being the airport. So that group on Monday is going to consider whether or not $50,000 of that should go to airports as a recommendation to you.
Well, it should be based on a specific request that is, you know, the highest and best use of those dollars that benefits the city. In my estimation, put your best foot forward and say, you know, not a generator, so to speak, but, you know, whatever's the sexy one on the list, go sell that.
Yeah, well, that's the one that closest matches the two entities.
So I think that if we look at the projects, though, what does putting a generator at Ivy and Grants Pass do? It means the airport runway lights don't go out ever, so that the usage of the airfield is continuous, and that this is part of bringing companies in, is that they have an airport that runs with full equipment 24/7, so that they have the access for their businesses to continue. And this is part of the whole point of building the infrastructure at the airport, is so that businesses have more opportunity to use that. So to me, I do see a direct economic development. The purpose of that generator means that equipment doesn't turn off, so therefore its continued use is for that business to not be shut, their access to be diminished.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say that these generators are a permanent part of the airport infrastructure. They're mounted on a slab. They're bolted to the ground. They're connected via conduit into the electrical equipment buildings. And they are an integrated part of the airport infrastructure. But stepping back even a bit, if I may, this $285,000 represents matching money for an array of federal airport improvement program grants that include clearing area for building new hangars, building a new taxiway at the Grants Pass Airport, putting in a complete new electrical system at the Illinois Valley Airport with runway lights and beacons and precision approach path indicators and things like that, making that an actually usable airport. So I think that if you were to identify what portion of this $285,000 was going toward generators, it would be a relatively small amount, maybe 5% of it, and the rest of it is going as match money toward this larger assemblage of AIP grants. And the other thing is that we've had an obligation to pay about $700,000 or more in matching money for all of these grants. And I went out and obtained core grants for AIP match. And the core grants didn't pay off as much as they had indicated they would at the beginning of the program. So instead of receiving a 9% of an AIP grant, in many cases we're receiving less than 7%, like a 5.8% or 6.3% payback or an assistance with that match money. So that's part of the reason for the shortfall. You know, philosophically, I'll just say one more long-winded sentence here. I've been talking with all the commissioners here in Josephine County over the last 6 years on an individual and group basis about the advantages of putting economic development money into the airports, because it is so highly leveraged, and the infrastructure that we obtain with this money is permanent and long-lasting, and it puts people to work immediately building these infrastructure improvements. And you can talk to Copeland about that, and Gatt Electric and Cunard Electric and a bunch of other subcontractors that are still at work and very happily so. But I just feel strongly that this is one of the best and highest uses of economic development money that a county can, or an airport sponsor can put it to. So, and that's my two cents.
I think we've got that loud and clear. I think it's a good point that Julie brings up, though, that we have to be careful what we're spending it on. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want this to kick back and do a black eye to us.
I completely disagree. And not from a standpoint that I want to be contrary to you, certainly, no, Commissioner DeYoung. I don't like the state telling me what I can do with the money that we negotiated. Right. We would let them have 97% of what we collect locally. It's $12 million annually, and they kick us back $350,000, $400,000 on a good year. They're not going to tell me what I can do with it in my county, what I think is best. Washington County puts theirs in their general fund and tells the state to stick it. And I think Multnomah County is ready to do the same. My opinion is this is a good, a very valid good, use, yeah. And I'll go all the way.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
That's
so
the way we do it.
I think this is great. Can you explain the difference between the top and the bottom? Because it looks like the biggest delta for me is the IV generator proposed at 100 grand. It's coming at 35. Is that where are we at on that one? And is your real ask not 285, but is it closer to 167? I mean, what's the point of the second?
Yeah, we have
that was actual as of January.
So you're not asking for, it feels as though the IV generator didn't cost as much as we proposed. So,
well, actually, no, the two generators were purchased on a Connect Oregon 6 grant, which was a 70% match. So I have to come up with 30% of the money.
Okay.
And that project is coming in. We don't have all the invoices yet because we're trying to get the contractors to send those invoices, and we haven't actually paid for all the work yet. But that will come in at just over $200,000 when all is said and done.
So this bottom graph is not. We don't even look at. It was confusing.
Yeah, basically.
And I'm like, why are you? Sounds like I'm ready to cut you a check for 167. It looks like that's what you need. But
for the next few months, he's going to have more.
So that graph means.
Yeah, we just sent a reimbursement request and received from the FAA a $400,000 or $352,000 reimbursement on one of our AIP grant projects. And that represents money that we've already spent.
Yeah.
But may not be reflected in this lower.
I'll let you guys figure out the nuts and bolts. My perspective is that I'd love for us to be the last dollar in. So if somebody doesn't have to pay, yours are on a percentage basis, though, right? So if the total cost comes in less, everybody's adjusted.
Then we pay less, yeah.
We pay less or everybody pays less?
Well, everybody pays less.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
it's not a fixed amount of, like, here's a grant for $50,000 and it costs $55,000, so it's only costing us $5,000 now.
No, we always have to pay 30%.
Yeah, and we get reimbursed as we go and as we submit invoices for reasonable and actuals.
Okay.
So it's in almost every case.
The worst case scenario, it's $285.
Yes. Yeah.
The only one that I would say is that the fuel tank has a revenue stream. You're not going to make any money off of striping or emergency power or anything like that. What do you think the potential? I'm just looking at, you know, making sure that we protect these dollars. I see Sarah sitting back there, and she's got a $1.6, $2 million project at her parks, and she'd love to have $285 for hers, and that's a revenue generator and stuff. So I'm thinking, you know, where there's a revenue generation capacity in these grants, and that's the only one that I see that maybe. Also, I was talking to Julie beforehand. It's really, I think it'd be helpful for everybody if we delineate all of these applications and where they're going. So we want to say we're sending $150,000 of this $285 to the IV airport, or because it isn't real clear. The West Side Hangar Development Area, that's got to be IV, right? Or is that GP?
That's GP.
GP.
Yeah.
Just needs to be clearly laid out. The fuel tank, is there a revenue stream that could pay back if out of the $45,000 we're looking for that to be 15 or 20, half of it?
Yeah,
is it possible you forego revenues on that new tank for a year and then it's paid off? And
could always do that. I mean, it's something that we can discuss. Or the fuel sales will not change as a result of installing the tank. What will change is our margin on that fuel. So we'll make a little bit more money.
Because you're buying more volume.
Yes, we're buying more at once and getting a better cost per gallon on it, because the transportation cost each time they send a truck down is the same, whether we take 5,000 or whether we take 10 or 15. So,
and those revenues are already dedicated towards operations.
They are. And as I said, the fuel sales will tend to increase every year. In my view, over
because
the
you
next
have more hangers, more
exactly, we have more activity happening. Yeah. And if you look at, I've been tracking gallons sold, not dollars, because the prices fluctuate wildly, and it's easier to track gallons.
Yeah.
And we have a trend going upward, very strong upward trend in fuel sales. I've just negotiated a new lease, which you'll be seeing shortly, with our FBO, who's agreed to pay more per gallon on a flowage fee basis. Over the next 10 years. So, you know, we're seeking to improve our revenue stream in every place we can do that. This will be a revenue generator, as fuel sales are my... I have two revenue generators only. I get a flowage fee per gallon of fuel sold, and I have dirt leases for, you know, county hangars, private hangar ground leases, and commercial hangar ground leases. And so those are my only two areas of income. I get little bluebirds once in a while when we have a tragic wildfire. Then we'll have a helitack base at the airport, and I'll have a land use agreement with the Forest Service, and that might bring in.
I think that as we go farther into emergency management and so on and so forth, there's a real element of that says the importance of airports. Because if you can't get here by rail or you can't get here by highway, everything is probably going to come in by air.
Right.
So,
in a disaster, all our supplies will be by air.
Yeah, that's all your help is going to come via air. So,
at a minimum, via helicopter, even
you know,
if the runway
goes just... back. I'm going back to that generator.
Yeah.
You know, what a time to not have power. So there, and we probably won't have power in the case of a disaster.
I'm not committed to that payback element as criteria for it. I think that in the future, that's got to be an element of everything you look at. Previous boards have granted money to things that were supposed to generate money either in our thing or the private sector. Every single one of those should be a loan, in my opinion. You should start with that nexus. If you don't explore that, you're not being efficient with those dollars.
And well, so it's return on investment.
Just exploring
that
as an option. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm completely in favor of all of this and suggest we move it forward.
Yep.
The only question I'd have is based on the recommendation of the group, it would say $50,000 to go towards it. I mean, potentially we can do $50,000 less here and $50,000 out of the CEDC. But which one would it be delineated to that specifically?
I think the East Side Parallel Taxiway is the best example of having, you know, regional solutions prioritize it, and that's an extension of, you know, SOAR Ready sits at the table. Everybody's saying that the nexus to economic development in the commercial hangar space, that's key. That's the one I would say you go for.
The West Hangar Development and the East Side Parallel?
Well, these say parallel taxiway, but I know that's only 25. It's not a whole lot of money, but that's the one.
But the West Hangar development area is potentially that's business opportunity. That's sure. Direct connection to business that the CEDC. So those two line items, as far as the potential that you would focus on, Julie, would that make sense?
Well, we're looking, we look at creating new traded sector jobs. That was our mission with the economic development funds. So I would
Economic development or SORETI? Because SORETI's traded sector. I thought ours was not just traded sector.
No, our last year in our budget, our initiative that we laid out was new traded sector jobs. So I would say these, in my mind, the economic development funds fund something that are creating new traded sector jobs. Not just employing Copeland, et cetera. No. It's whichever ones create new traded sector jobs is where those funds should
be
used.
East side especially. Yeah. West side could be more private hangars. It's not dedicated to solely employment. But the commercial element is that's all.
On Flaming Road.
It's on Flaming Road, the east side taxiway.
I just conducted a poll among airport commercial businesses, and I requested to know how many new jobs, how many new hires do you have in your company since October of 2016, rather, which was when we commissioned the AWOS. And I have to report this to Connect Oregon as part of my justification and the final closeout of that bill. And the number's 24. Permanent new jobs that have been created just at the airport. Since October of 2016, and that number is 7 at Dutch Bros. They have a whole complete flight department that didn't exist in October of 2016, and 17 employees at Pacific Aviation Northwest. And I haven't received any other numbers from other commercial businesses there, but Chief didn't respond, and Rogue Valley Door, I think their aviation support is to areas in and outside of the county. So they have increased their employment, but outside of Josephine County, so I don't count them.
Sounds good. I think you guys can figure out what's going to sell to the CEDC. I'm not going to be there on Monday, but I think you guys will be fine. Okay.
So we were going to move this forward? As written?
Yeah, Commissioner DeYoung, if you're here, you're the liaison to the airports.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be really advantageous for you to, if you have it in your schedule to go, help sell the contribution.
So as far as today, as this goes, are we approving 285 or 235? And then
not to exceed.
Not to exceed 285.
But if you can garner another $50,000 to $100,000 at a CEDC, that would be great. CEDC, yeah.
Yeah, and this is worst case, so it may be less than this.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Because the CEDC $50,000 has come back to you as well, just so you understand that. Okay.
But we're applying for $100,000 from the CEDC, not just our money, right? I don't think it should be divided up. It should be
It was just a recommendation on my part that we explore all alternatives for funding.
Well, I really see the CEDC not trying to parcel out, well, this is a county money put in $50,000, so we're going to put $50,000 back into the county. No. You guys are a joint committee. You need to prioritize the things, and if all of the money goes to a city project one year, I don't care. Well, it's whatever, they come up with jointly. That's my opinion. It can't be, otherwise, I don't need a joint committee. I'll just have a county committee appropriating county dollars back to the county. It needs to be the highest priority for the region, and I see it being the airport.
I think the sell is that this is a one-shot deal. Let's take care of this right now, whatever it takes, wherever the money's got to come from. Let's take care of this right now, because he won't be back next year for it, because these projects will be funded and off and running, and away you go.
You will have next
year. Yes, Larry.
May I say about that, that within 5 years, we're going to have somewhere between $7 and $10 million appropriated by the FAA to the Grants Pass Runway Extension Project. That's going to require $700,000 to $1 million of match money. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm building into my budget is a request of $200,000 per year for the next 5 years. so that we can have that money available when that grant comes in and when that construction starts. And that's big. That's, we haven't ever done that before, but we have never had a $7 or $10 million runway extension project.
And that either. Is a one. In a
that is a once in a lifetime.
That's a once in a lifetime.
We won't be back next year for another
report. No, and I'm, what I'm trying to avoid is the situation where we get all the way there, they've given us the money, everyone's at work building this thing, and then I say, okay, by the way, folks, I need $1 million.
Yeah.
Well, I think that $1 million needs to be put in, you know, a plan for it. And I don't know whether saying, okay, we're going to go to these folks every year for our $200,000. I don't know whether...
No, but a piece of the pie... But I wouldn't say you're not going to come back for $25,000. I mean, it's going to be regional solutions. It's going to be
exactly.
this.
It's going not to be necessarily just that.
I'm knocking on all the, doors, believe me. Yeah, yeah. So it isn't that we will have to have that money from the Economic Development Fund, but I think that it's prudent to have it available if, you know, if we can't get it anywhere else.
When it happens, you're going to need it.
Yeah.
But from Economic Development, this year is your turn. Next year, it may be somebody else's turn.
Well,
okay.
If you look back, it's been.
Well, I've gotten $30,000 a year, every year, to help subsidize the operations at Illinois Valley Airport.
In addition, we.
Julie, do you have something to say?
I do. So we did do our budget for economic development. It was $100,000 for the fire suppression at Illinois Valley Industrial Park.
First time.
$75,000 put away for a future IV park or expansion of the park. $50,000 to the CEDC. $75,000 for workforce housing, which we've had that discussion. We're waiting for more information on. And then we had the $30,000 that we give airports, and whatever was left over is what we decided. And I do have to say with the CEDC, they're not just looking at the airport. Remember, we applied for a broadband grant. And at our joint meeting, the commissioners did say how important it was to have broadband. So that CEDC is going to be discussing what should we give to a broadband, recommend for a broadband proposal, and for airports. So the assumption, so I don't want us assuming that CEDC is going to say put all $100,000 into airports.
Oh, that's fine.
Because I'm guessing you're going to see $50,000 as a recommendation for airports and $50,000 as a recommendation for the broadband. So just
great.
You understand that.
My recollection, and I could be wrong, but we shored up your delta when we hired the two staff full-time with economic development dollars. And
yes, we did do that, you're right.
For a couple, for
and,
at least a year.
And now I'm back down one full-time staff member, and we're making do with three FTEs and some. Actually, my Schedule D budget for this coming year is going to be less than it was for our current budget year.
I'm just
year.
Saying we have appropriated economic development dollars. I don't think we pay for those trucks. Out of economic development dollars, your two, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It was $100,000, wasn't it? 90.
Well, it was about 38 a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after they were outfitted, it was about 40 a piece, if I remember. So, $80,000. I think we did that out of economic development. So this isn't your first, but those are all things that just bring you to the. It really brings you to par. It's
right.
Not putting you ahead any. This is where airports should have been when you took office, when you took the position. You inherited 6 years of backlog of stuff that should have been done.
Yeah.
And you are just getting, frankly, in my opinion, to where we should have been when you came into office and the job. So,
great job, Larry.
Yep. That's why I have
I
think the investment is there. How else are you going to get there?
Right.
You're going to continue to flounder if you don't have these resources to get you to, frankly, par.
Yeah, I think, you know, Economics 101, if you don't have enough money, start charging more for your services and goods, okay? But there's also a part of that which says you reach saturation at the market rate, or
as soon
as I begin
competitive in your market.
Yeah, and I've already, I mean, we've already had somewhat of an exodus of some of the old timer, pilots who've been there forever, and they've gone away, or they've pulled out and they've gone to other locations because of rent raises that we've had at the airport. Now, new people have come in right away, but I had a 22-person waiting list, and that's down considerably. I think we have about 5 to 7 people on the waiting list right now for hangars. So we're getting closer to that, balance point where what we're charging for, what we have is
at
about
the market.
Yes, at the market, exactly.
The other thing is I'm not hearing of an economic development request we're turning down.
So no, if you're aware of those, then, you know, our job is to find the money. You come to us with the right proposal, and I think we can do that. Or we'll try. We'll try regional solutions like we did with Larry. He didn't have anything. And that project wouldn't be here today had we not jumped in a car and went over there and sold our project.
Yep.
And it was an uphill battle the whole time. Larry fought it at the legislature. I mean, so we're ready to go. Just don't shy away from, oh, we don't have any more money.
Well, Larry knows I'm very supportive of the airports. Completely see the value in that. I just want to make sure that we don't agree to something, budget for it. I'm working on something all year, and then all I want, boom, we take the money and we put it to the airport.
Well, what we need to
we
hear
need to
is
budget
context.
Ahead.
So you've got to tell us what are the cost benefits. I don't have anything to compare to his request of $285 today, right?
I can say that $285 is an unusual request. It's a one time. Let's make up for the shortfall that happened due to a number of issues. Part of it, lack of planning. I didn't build in $100,000 or $200,000 in economic development money request into my budget because I had 5 years of history indicating I wasn't going to get it anyway. And so I just thought, okay, look, I'm going to put this in here, and then I'm going to build it into my budget from now on, and it'll be a significant request, and I'm putting $200,000 into next year's budget as a economic development request, which we can all discuss and chew on and decide if it's really worth that much.
Maybe we should call it something else other than an economic development request. Request for matching funds, I think, is probably more appropriate. And if it comes out of economic development, if the future
it
board says so,
sure.
Yeah.
But let us figure out where
it gives us a lot
of predetermined.
That's fine.
Get creative.
And then that really does.
We don't want to handcuff Julie from not being able to
exactly.
do.
Anything.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah. And at Arthur's suggestion, we've created a third fund. We've always had Fund 51 and Fund 52 for
he
Illinois Valley.
Did he do that?
He did. We created a new fund, Fund 53, called Capital Grant Match or Capital Improvement Fund.
Let me create
you know what?
Funds.
Oh, no, no. Well, there's no money in it. I didn't say he created the money for it, but.
It's ridiculous. I had money for mine.
It'll help us account for properly and segregate
capital
money
properly.
And keep it segregated from operating budget, which
he
has always been.
Awards and holy knows over my strategy, fiscal head, whatever.
So up to $285,000, and then somebody will be at the Dan or somebody will be at the CADC meeting.
I think
you have
the worst schedule.
Sure.
Okay,
yes,
and they may not even need you there because they do.
Well,
they've already expressed. Well, they've
sure.
already expressed their support for the airports and the fact that they thought the city should get on board with the airport. So.
Okay, we tried to sell it pretty hard at the city.
We do
city
it. Every chance
time.
We get with the cities, we're pushing the importance of the airport for the whole.
And
I
appreciate
city.
That very much. Yeah,
for the vicinity, and they're part of the vicinity. They keep saying they are. Let's step up.
Well, there's no doubt that it does benefit the city.
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay, so I'll give the Ricky, this is the original, because the other one didn't have my signature.
So I'd make a motion to approve that economic development grant application.
I second that.
Up to $285,000.
Commissioner Morgan is presently out of the room for a second, and if she gets back, we can do it right now.
Yep.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. 2-0.
Thank you much.
You bet. Okay, so we're done with one. We're done with two. Next up, parks. Item number 2B is parks. Resolution number 2018-013 in the matter of authorizing the Josephine County Parks Department to apply for a local government grant from Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Sarah Wright, our parks director, is here to give us the lowdown. What's
morning,
the lowdown?
Commissioners. So it's very similar to the resolution from last week where I am asking for you to show your support through a resolution which is required for me to apply for grants through Oregon Parks and Rec. This grant is going to be, I think, just a hair over $400,000 for an ask from the local government grant program, also through Oregon Parks for the White Horse Park project.
Perfect.
Okay. Yep. Do you have any questions at all?
Now, how is this one different than the other requests, just the amount of the person we're applying for?
Both the amount and the grant funding. So the last one was a Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is federal grant. This one is a local government grants program, which is a different pot of money from Oregon Parks Grant Opportunities.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. We need in your five-year vision plan on your thing this year is what are your long-term needs?
And, yes.
You know, had lunch with the sheriff. I said, I need to know your long-term needs. Ryan Johnson needs to tell us for the long-term needs so that we can build in, you know, a perspective of, well, if we give this 285 like we just did, mm-hmm. what are we not able to give to parks or
sure.
something else? And context is really key, and having that five-year plan really can provide us some strategy for fiscal planning that we really don't have right now. We kind of do, but not really. So... how come your project is so expensive? I apologize in just being so blunt, but when I started out on this thing, and this was under your predecessor, it felt like the project was right amount of $1 million. You're applying for close to 700 right now. Now we're at 2 and change, and it just feels like, what are we building out there?
Yeah, so the concept plans, I agree, were drastically cut short as far as anticipated funds went. They called the entire project, all three phases, $1 million, whereas just the upper phase itself is about 1.4 for us. And it makes sense when you look at all the line items. We currently have nothing up in the upper loop. They're tent sites. And so we're starting from scratch, and we're demoing a lot of what we have. So we're taking out the old restroom shower altogether, and some of the concrete's going to be broken up, but mainly we're adding more than double the amount of paved road going through, and we're creating all new RV sites. So you have to bring in all the sewer, all the water, all the electrical. So it's basically development.
You're creating a new sewer system?
We're bringing in new lines.
You're using the existing
sewer? Using the existing leach field, but you have to bring in lines to all the RV sites because
sure.
they're all
it's just
sites.
Pipe on the ground.
Yeah.
How expensive is that to get a backhoe out there and dig a hole,
a
ditch?
Some of it is excavating and redoing the slope because you don't want an RV to suddenly be huge with all your stuff falling off as you're going into the park.
I can attest to my site getting the RV level was difficult.
Sure.
And getting it level near the hookups was more difficult.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, it's level over here, but the hookups can't be reached. So it was kind of one of those things. And we didn't use the gray water.
There's $1.4 million.
It's $1.4 million to level.
So
I mean,
that
I,
literally doesn't have
I
to.
Can
yeah, yeah. So I borrowed
the
RV, by the way. I don't own one. I don't have all of the breakdown in front of me, but I believe that just the shower and toilet building alone is almost hitting $400,000 because it's an entirely new building. Even if we were to bring in like a pre-built CXT, you're going to be around the 250, 300 mark for that, but they're just not the best.
No.
And so I want to build from the ground up right there. So as you start piecing out the project, it seemed to make sense. Now, in speaking directly to the engineers, because they said, this is ridiculous as far as costs go, they said that they do their costs a little bit high to make sure that you're never short. And I agree, the worst case scenario would be to have your grant funding go out to bid and your bids all of a sudden be a lot higher than you have money for. I'd rather the bids come in under.
Your contractor who's saying that is the same contractor who's doing Food and Friends, who just had to go out for a new evaluation.
Got it.
Jumped up $150,000, $200,000. And that's in the same planning process.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I hope to have a lot of bids coming.
I just, you know, when we're talking, I always go back and ask, how big is that shower bathroom facility?
Sure.
How many square feet is it divided into the cost? And I go, there's no garage, no heat pump, no sink, no appliances,
sure.
no washer dryer hookups. I mean, it just boggles my mind how, because it is what it is, oh my gosh. And it, you know, the price goes clear through the roof. You know, I don't know if you have explosion proof toilets or whatever you got as a requirement in there. I don't know that. But
it just seems crazy.
But it just seems if I go cost per square foot, you know, what it costs to build a luxury home, a nice, an upscale home, and then you go in there, and you find it's $400 or $500 a foot to build a bathroom. That doesn't set well with me as a private sector, but maybe it is.
Yeah, $400,000 home is
pretty substantial. It's
nicer than mine by double.
Yeah.
I would be happy to email you the cost estimate that's been provided
so
far.
It's just frustrating
for
us.
For me too.
Your program is so frugal. I've seen your stuff. It just, I want it done, and I want it done right. Look at how this one's been there since 58 or 60. We depreciate our assets tremendously.
And I
think right.
The other thing is the angles are totally off in there. The way the road goes versus the RV, you can't get the angles very well. And I mean, it needs this. It's just a matter of how do we do it.
Well, there's
very
no road where we're talking about now.
No, the upper phase one's got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you drive in, you hit where the existing RVs are. You have to make that big left turn. That is all being repaved and redesigned as part of phase one because we have to make sure the RVs can get up to the top loop. So how it's split into two sections right now, that's all going to be leveled in one big sweeping entry so it can go all the way back up into the upper. We have engineered plans on our website currently so that anybody from the public that wants to see what we're doing, it's there. We didn't include the cost because that's not typically something that you show people who are going to be bidding on the project.
Who knows what it's going to be.
While we've been talking about this in the year and a half that I've been here, that the price of that has gone up substantially, and the longer we talk about it, the worse it's going to get.
Well, and I support the project moving forward.
I support the project moving forward, and there's going to be nuances in there that you take care of because you're the parks director.
Absolutely.
And if you see anything going sideways, you know, that we need to get involved in, please let us know sooner rather than later. But I think the project's a great deal. I like White Horse Park. You know, I remember when it was built a long, long time ago. And it was called White Horse Park. So, anyway.
Thank you.
It's come along great, and your program's doing well. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Just a thought, too. I mean, I don't know how you're planning on bidding this, but are you talking about potentially compartmentalizing it? There may be some strategy to keeping the road construction separate from the bathroom, separate from the septic. And if you want to sit down with us, we can maybe find just some
savings.
Yeah, it's completely out of my wheelhouse. So anybody that has professional knowledge that wants to help, I would greatly accept that.
At this point, you've only got to bid through design.
All we have is the engineered cost. We haven't even got to the...
So I think you did want to design bid and then maybe start compartmentalizing construction. We can certainly talk.
Okay.
Sounds like somebody in the room may be willing to help.
Yay. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, we're looking at having a project manager for the North Valley Industrial Park. That's a $3.5 million project. Yours is not that much farther away from that, but $1.5. It is not a good use of your time and your expertise to be doing this. So I think your job is to line up the funding and consistent. It might be a project manager.
What are the elements that I needed to have? What's the best way?
You go find the money and make sure that they're doing what you want them to do.
Sure.
Somebody else probably does those things that Rob is talking about, and you know that makes compliant. You want a compliance officer with prevailing wage, all of those elements. That's the Demick campus, and we hired somebody to do that stuff. Because if you get it wrong, and what are you going to spend $7,000 on Rosemary to come back here and make sure all that? But if you get that wrong, you're screwed.
Yeah,
they will come after you, and they know what it is because they do it. They go from project to project.
Yeah, they know
what it's supposed
whack.
To look like. And if you don't cross your T and dot your I, they'll
and we'll
come
still
after you.
We'll still name it the Sarah Wright.
No.
So it's okay.
We have named so much stuff in parks. I have no interest in having anything named after me. You can put that on the record. There's so many dedications out there.
Yeah.
I'll just do the work.
Thank you very much. We're okay. She can... Resolution authorizing her to march ahead.
Very good.
Great.
Thank you.
We'll move that forward to consent calendar. That sound good? 2 weeks from now? Item number 3, quarterly department upgrade, Public Works A1, Solid Waste Agency update.
Yay.
Good morning.
This
is here
this is
today.
On the agenda.
Sorry, I don't mean it that way.
And he's also brought a PowerPoint. Are you?
So, yeah, so I've got my quarterly just Public Works report. You can do that one if I don't care which order.
Quarterly first.
Okay.
Oh, I'm disappointed now. I was looking forward to Solid Waste.
That's sad. That's so sad. Yeah, we all get done with those meetings. We just sat around talking for an hour and a half about garbage and disposal. Chip seal season, we're gearing up 30 miles this year, as you've probably heard, which is getting closer back to our historical average. Rock bids came in a little higher than last year, but a lot of that's because of the Oregon Mainline project on I-5. That's, I think it's 48 to 61, so Robco did not even end up bidding on our rock this year, and they typically do, but they're producing like 60,000 tons for that job. It's massive, so that's what they're doing for the next foreseeable future.
That project you mentioned at 48 at Rogue River?
Yeah, I think...
I thought it stopped at 55.
I thought it went 61.
To Merlin?
Yeah, I believe so.
At RV Apka, didn't they say...
I think it's 13 miles, because they were talking about...
Huh?
They had a meeting? They haven't had a meeting in a long time.
Don't even go there.
Okay. They finally did, yeah. One in the last, yeah.
Well, if we move them all to Medford, you'll have plenty of people show up. But because they were here, we did. And we're going to have that discussion.
Every third one at this point.
Bring an ODOT in for the next city-county thing, and we'll have probably, that's one of our discussion points. Sure. So.
I think it's 61 because they talked about using our Chancellor pit up there on the way to the gun club at one point. Either way, yeah. Oregon Mainland's got that one, so they're kind of using a lot of resources. Oil came in at 360 a ton, which is pretty well typical, so I think we'll be right in that 30,000 a mile to chip. The focus is District 2 and 3, so that's kind of Pinecrest, Culver Lawn, and then down into Fish Hatchery, so basically kind of west side of the closer to town areas. Speaking of the Oregon Mainline, that project, they're going to put their batch plant, let's put it out here, the asphalt plant out there at
Spalding,
yeah. And so their haul route is likely going to involve a couple city roads, a couple county roads. So we've got some concerns when the previous overlay they did was done 8 years ago. It beat those roads up a bit, not enough, but I think this time they're going to require some treatment afterwards. So typically what we'll do is we'll have Dave Rubrick go out with one of ODOT's folks, one of the Oregon Mainline folks, and presumably somebody from the city because they're going to have Foothill and Agnes getting hammered. Yeah. But that's going to be a lot of trucks banging over those roads.
We talked about it on Tuesday.
And that was another thing because we're bringing ODOT in the next monthly meeting, yeah. And that's one of the things that came up. And they did, when they did the climbing lanes, they used Spalding, yep, as their batch plant.
Yep.
And it was in that contract that they couldn't use Agnes because of the
it was traffic.
The start, well, the traffic and the start on Hillside Start at Dutch, right, Brothers, you'd only get one truck through there per cycle.
Right.
So they made him go down all the way down behind Walmart to East Street, mm-hmm, and then take the whole parkway out. Mm-hmm. Well, if you go behind Walmart, that's a heavy traffic use out there, but that road is just absolutely shot.
Oh, yeah.
And we brought it to the attention of Council President Valerie Lovelace, because she's on RV Act. That's something they really need to look at this time, and that needs to be dialed into the contract, because other than that, they're just destroying what's left,
yeah,
and then walk.
Yeah, and us and the city are kind of in second position. It's going to be on ODOT to enforce that
as their bid, but
we want to make it real clear to say you can't destroy these city and county roads with your project. They're going to have to be brought back.
I don't know whether they followed through on that last time, because after they got done, because I drive out there all the time. That's where my shop is. And I went, gosh, on Friday.
I don't know about the city's roads. Ours, we were concerned. Rubrick went back out after the project and said, you know what, they didn't get beat up near as bad as we thought. We're okay. But this time, I don't think it's going to
make it. No, I don't think it's going to make it.
Because nothing else
will. Okay, good point.
Yeah.
If they use Spalding.
It sounds like that's a done deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Which may be less worse if they use Chancellor than they would have just destroyed Vine coming back into town on Miles Creek Bridge. So one way or another. Merlin Sidewalk Project update. Copeland has agreed to hold that bid through May 8th to at least give us a bit more time to have some further discussions with the folks out there. Admittedly, it feels like we may be pushing water up a hill, but I'd like to take one more shot at it. I stand behind, I think, the effectiveness of that project, the safety aspect of it, and quite frankly, it would pretty up a lot of the businesses in front there. So.
Did you give any thought? We had a conversation the other day about who you limit your noticing to. Because we had people from out on Beckland, we had a couple people from clear down on Azalea Drive.
Right.
That's not, to me, the people that are affected are the ones that are basically right next to and in the work zone, maybe a block in each direction.
Right.
That's number one. Number two is also, I asked the question the other day, if you removed, there's the bike lanes is one thing, the bump outs is another one.
There are no bike lanes.
Right.
Huh?
There are no bike lanes.
I know, I'm just, let me finish. Bike lanes were a concern, the bump outs were a concern, so on and so forth. If it got down to being just a sidewalk on both sides of the street, just a sidewalk, does that still qualify for MPO money?
I think it would. The project was pitched as a sidewalk project first and foremost, so I think it would, and there are no hard metrics to say you did X amount of mitigation. Again, there's no way to quantify how many people are going to use it, so I think it would. The tough part is going back and changing the bump outs and everything else would be a moderate amount of design time to fix. Neil's looking into what that would take him. If that's a 6 month, you know, 6 week project, it gets pretty tight. If he can bang it out in a week, maybe we look at it. But yeah, I would be the bump out in front of Baldini's to me is kind of the non-negotiable to get the traffic off of that blind corner. The intersections with the bump outs, yeah, you could look at doing that without compromising a whole lot else.
I think you're gonna find, you know, listen to what the people say about what their concerns are, and if we can do that, still get that sidewalk project, that's fine. But
believe me, I'm trying to look for gives on that thing so they can. Yeah, there's a feeling of it that it was negotiated to a final settlement. I still don't like doing that necessarily because it's a safety project. But if there's ways that we can make it look like, yeah, there's been gives, and like with the Baldini's folks doing the vacations to the south and west of them, that solved a lot of their problem. They still didn't like the parking issue in front, but that solved a lot of it. So, yeah, we've got.
But you've got to get the Baldini's on board to say so that the rest of the people say, yeah, Baldini's are on board.
Right.
And they go, okay, fine.
And they did sign the easement with us after meeting that day, and they were grudgingly okay. But it's going to be a one by one. And I guess to your point about how far do you send the notice? Theoretically, we were working within county right away. There wasn't any noticing technically required. We obviously did all the frontage businesses, the usual radio, TV, paper blitz. But yeah, it's tough if folks get excited about it on Facebook as they did, and eventually just becomes a.
And if it's a Facebook issue, then we put out what the final project will look like on Facebook, and oh, I can dig that.
Yeah, and it's so amazing. We put it on our Facebook page. You guys have it hanging back here. It's hard to know.
I took a picture of that and put it on Jan Slasher's thing because it was like she was saying something about how, I don't remember what she said, but it was like, Jan, that's obviously not the case. Have you seen this? She said yes, and she was saying stuff on Facebook that wasn't true. My thing is like, I'm at this meeting over here. I can't defend this project. I know nothing about it. All I know is I've got a picture back there. I don't know how many people were noticed. I don't know how long this project's been in the queue. I don't know the process of MPO. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten an update from MPO. What I want to be able to do is if we have a project of this nature, 600 grand, which is your largest thing, besides a guardrail and an overlay, you know, the $900,000 project, there's no controversy on that at all. Maybe the seasonality of it.
Right.
But I don't know why we picked the spring right when they had a parade. I don't know the advantages of that. I want to be able to go over there. And if I can have an intelligent conversation and say, no, these are the things that have happened. We noticed 350 people. 100 of those came back as no address bound,
right,
or whatever. We've got, this has gone through the MPO. These project dollars are dedicated to this kind of a project. I've been out there. I've walked it. Last night I drove it because I knew we were meeting about this thing. There is exactly what you were talking about, but I hadn't really gone out there and looked at it from a standpoint of it's all beaten down on either side of the road.
Right. Both sides. Right.
Tell me that nobody's using
right.
that.
Right.
I've hunted. You've hunted your whole life. You know how you know where animals are going or whatever? There's a trail. There's a trail on either side of that mm-hmm. road. You're already working within the easement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem standing up and telling people, look, this is what's going to happen if I know about the project to a degree where I can argue it. I was hearing about stuff like, it just, that was the process that I'm concerned about,
right,
is that I can get out there and defend it like you can. You can speak totally articulately about this. I can't.
Well, and I apologize if the board felt blindsided and quite, I mean, and I'm not looking for excuses or cop-outs, but again, you know, we had the night meeting with Julie's folks out there, the full notices. We had our meeting last May and heard nothing. It was literally Monday night or Monday morning this thing got going, so.
Was he at any one of these?
It was tough to get out in front of the freight train.
Dan is liaison.
Dan met just out on site with our staff and we talked through the project.
Yeah, he needs to be there, I think, somebody. If you're not, you know, he's always available. He shows up everywhere. You're the guy who can go.
Yeah. I know, and I get what you're saying, and the hard part too is, I mean, at the Oasis meeting the next day, Thursday, we were talking about this project, and everyone was literally laughing. They're like, wait, how is this not just sailing through even remotely controversial? Folks just turned down.
The kicker is we
assume. Right.
And that's where we're
But going. I mean, what I guess I'm saying
I
is...
I want to qualify something. He was at an Oasis meeting. That's all like minds thinking
it.
The same. There was not a guy like me who said, you know what, just whatever happened out there didn't happen.
I guess what I'm saying
yeah.
is nobody's ever had a project blow up like
no.
this. It should have been
this,
so non-controversial.
This thing
yeah.
should have been a slam dunk.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about salvage after catastrophic wildfire.
Yeah.
I don't understand
right,
how anybody
right.
can be opposed to that. but they are.
Right.
Yeah. How, what are you
so
thinking?
So you have to walk into it. Like
we're in a situation now that I think if we're going to salvage a project, we need to salvage it or some portion of it.
That's right. So my thought would be is a door to door with the businesses there to at least get the temperature
with all of us or something.
Yep. And then probably a follow-up meeting where we just have stakeholders to say, business reps, let's have you have two or three folks, Jan Slusser's or whatever, the non-business folks, let's have two or three of you guys at the table, and we'll have two or three, and let's talk this thing through.
Yeah.
And then it's going to come back to you guys. And, you know, the other missing chunk there the other day was the bikeway folks. We've been getting pounded the last week. Well, what else can we do? I said, well, you could have showed up last Wednesday.
Yeah, we've gotten several emails.
Yeah.
Them saying, don't drop this project.
And it's frustrating, yeah. I've been hitting them up for 3-4 weeks. I said, I really need to let the
board
know.
I was last night with a guy who rode 30 miles in that area last night. He was like, that would have been phenomenal. Everywhere else, I can mitigate the congestion because it's distributed. It's on these roads. There's a handful of people driving on them. But downtown Merlin in the summertime, it's packed.
Yeah.
And the road count is off the charts. We need to hear from those people. I reached out to a couple
that I know
who ride in that
area. I pinged them for the 3 weeks prior to that meeting, and there was not a one, I guess, the ADA guy, but there was not a bike or ped rep at that meeting.
We just have to work at this as a strategy. I felt that the opposition really was not specific on an issue. They just didn't feel like they had been...
The big thing was that they didn't know about the project adequately, and that's our fault. We should have done something.
And I don't want to jam any project like that down somebody's
throat. There's other needs. If other folks want some, Williams wants it. If they were in the MPO, I'd give it to them, but they're outside the MPO.
Moving forward, I just don't
want
to waste a whole bunch of time and then come up with something like that because we overlooked one part of the process that we really should have concentrated on.
But I want to go out there. I want to walk. I want to walk each side. I want to talk to every business owner and hear it. And then we can get it back in a weekly business session and have made those accommodations, whatever they are.
Accommodated the parade. Accommodated the fears. It's still done before tourism
that parade,
season.
People talk to me afterwards. They're like, what are you thinking? I was like, wow. We'll work through it.
Timing-wise, if we could figure out a way to get this going forward, Copeland said that they could start the day after the parade and be done before the 4th of July. So, I mean,
that's
and we all say Memorial Day, but nobody's really rafting Memorial Day. It's still too snake and cold.
But they are fishing.
Yeah, they are
fishing
a bit.
There's people rafting now.
I don't know why it is freezing. I did receive some emails from a couple folks who just said, thank you. We felt that we were heard.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking at it, I'd be okay with sidewalks. That was the portion that they said they were okay with.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that big of an impact. When I drove through there last night, it was like...
I think it would make a place look
It's
cool.
only an
well,
impact
better,
if we move the curb.
Appearance-wise. Why do people call me from up on...
That's the bump outs.
Right.
People call me from up on Acorn, which is two blocks up.
It's a wide road.
Mm-hmm. And he says, well, we don't want this project. And I says, I don't think it's in front of your house.
Yeah.
She says, what? And I says, this isn't a project in front of your house.
Yeah.
You can weigh in if you. I don't want the sidewalk. You're not getting a sidewalk.
It's a hard
two blocks down,
and it fed into a lot of folks' worst fears. You kind of heard that tint. Well, this is somehow the city of Grants Pass. No, it's not. This is going to look like Shady Cove. No, it's going to look nothing like Shady Cove.
And Rogue River Highway was
brought
out.
No, I mean, it's going to look like it does now, except with a sidewalk behind the curb. So,
really, that's exactly what it's going to look like.
Yeah. And a year from now, those folks will be saying, "My gosh, I wish we did this 5 years."
And the pantry guy, that is going to be, like an impact there. Mm-hmm. He's right. I think it impacts him more than anybody.
But same thing. We met with him, and he was grudgingly okay. He's like, "I see why you got to do this. I can live without a couple
spots."
He
seemed reasonable about it.
There was one area out there. Gosh, what is it? Oh, the rafting, Whitewater Orange Torpedoes.
They were not there.
They were not there, but they would be impacted by a sidewalk because that's their diagonal parking up against the curb.
Right.
So, but it is asphalted there, but I think they would have to be back a little ways. They're going to have to move that back. So they would have a skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I drove out there the other day, too, just for...
So for strategy going forward, I've heard you both have an interest in door-to-door. I'm happy doing that myself. Do you both want to be a part of that? Figure out timing and...
It isn't you carrying any more water on this deal. It's our job.
Right? Well, I guess...
Exactly. But don't do anything alone.
So how do you want to coordinate which of you two or which of all three of you want to talk to businesses? Do you want me to work with your staff to set up times with all
of
them?
We need a time slot, and we need to figure out whether or not we can publicly notice the fact. This is a matter of... it would fall under the open... It's not a parade. We're discussing policy. So I don't know how you notice this.
everywhere is ADA compliant.
Oh, you're saying with you two at the same time.
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
say quorum. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. I think the full board, potentially, Commissioner mm-hmm. Morgan and Klein. And we walk the streets. Mm-hmm. I don't want the open public meeting law is not to preclude the ability for us to do our job. And I feel like we need to be doing our job. We need to be hearing these people at the same time. I don't want to do, you know, successive three meetings with the same people at Baldini's.
Right. Right.
That's not efficient with their time. It's not efficient with ours. So otherwise we do the
good cop,
bad cop. I'm all in favor of this, and Commissioner DeYoung is not, or vice versa.
Oh, of course I am. I'm always in. But I think what the key is, as Commissioner Harris says, is that this is the board needs. They need to know that the board is listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the important part.
Yeah. Right.
And if the board comes back, an option is the board comes back, and we come back and say, sorry, the whole thing's scrub. Merlin wants to be Merlin. They don't ever want to be touched again.
Then we know definitively because we talk to everybody. It's not a matter of who had time on a Wednesday morning.
Right. But I think one of the key elements to it is that the businesses, if they sign off on it and see the value in it, see the features and benefits of it, they will tell their customer, no, I'm in. I'm in. And then it all dies down.
That's
the people at Baldini's sat at the bar after at happy hour and said, no, we talked to Commissioner Hare and he came out here. He showed us what this thing's actually going to be. We're in. We like it. Then it all goes away. They just buy out. Everything's fine. So I think it's those businesses out there who we have to convince.
We had a fun one the other day. One of the property owners was in favor of it. The business that rents from her is not.
Yes,
I mean, this is the kind, it's made the strangest bedfellows I've ever seen.
But the business is the one that's affected, not the property owner. Property owner, an ad.
But again, so who gets the, quote, vote on that? Nobody's voting on this one,
and I always am concerned with, you know, where we're going forward, and then there's, you know, a trajectory change, like yesterday with the ordinance or this project. The problem is that I hadn't bought it myself mm-hmm. before we got there, either the order or this project. I can't sell something
I don't believe in.
Exactly. I could take it or leave it. I don't know. I mean, if there's someplace else in the MPO, we could put something like this and they want it.
It was
Why
easy for the sheriff and I to go out on that levy because, you know what, I believed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the Southern Oregon marijuana issue. I believe in that intensely. I have no problem selling that to
sitting down with anybody.
Right. With anybody, it's no problem at all. But I have to believe.
Well, and keep in mind, Commissioner Morgan's the only person at this table that wasn't on the MPO policy committee in spring of 2014 that approved this project and moved it up the list. I mean, it's a good project.
But it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, and it still does.
It still does. But
there's
we just have a strategy with addressing
this.
So we're all in line,
putting it, you know,
our
process in their opinion in their lap, and we're down there, that's not going to sell anybody. Nobody likes that.
Our process was inadequate. We need to change that going forward because we can save ourselves a lot of work.
I feel bad for Copeland. I mean,
well, I do too.
11th,
but
I feel bad for you guys. It absolutely blindsided me. I've never seen a project that seems like so non-starter.
Yeah,
and it's not like
we don't get this much static on nasty projects.
Allen Creek.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad one. But you're taking people's property.
Right.
You're condemning their homes.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
There's
three
homes.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward, but we're like I said. Yeah. I think we so we're okay on that. That's about all we can kick that one around. I think.
Well, let's get a date soon.
Yeah,
and we're out next week.
Yeah,
it's the following probably.
Well, one more. If you're feeling really froggy, would the board be interested in even having a booth or of some sorts at the Merlin Parade to talk about it? That would be potentially the day before kickoff.
Let's not get political during
their parade.
Okay.
It's like doing something for both.
Yeah,
and
they
I just
not be
no
distracted
thanks.
By stuff like
yeah.
that.
I think let them have their parade and go.
And it may be that we have to actually make appointments with them, call and say, I'd like to come talk
mm-hmm.
with you.
Yeah.
It's a time that we can do that.
Yeah, you don't want to be during their
and we'll
lunch
just
hour.
Make sure we've got staff available.
No, you don't want to go to Baldini's during lunch hour. You want to get there.
Yeah.
Happy hour is better for
Let's go there at 6 o'clock Friday. We'll be happy. Sand Creek, 90% plans are in hand from David Evans. We'll be meeting in about 2 weeks. So then once that's done, we can start the right-of-way acquisition process, do some final scoping, and then we'll go out to bid probably early fall. And
The bridge?
Yeah, that's the bridge.
Okay, because we had a question the other day on the talk show about the bridge.
Why is it taking so long to replace it?
Yeah,
so
on and
so
forth. And
well,
I
just quoted the idea that it was 2 years. Really
steered them towards your department and said, they've got that all in. You could explain why
sure.
it's not easy. Well, just roll a culvert in there and just
right.
be done with it. You know,
the reality
I mean,
is
you
if
can't do that.
After it happened, last January. If we had immediately stepped up and said Public Works will pay for this in-house, it probably would happen this summer. But it's $1.6 million, and we looked and said there's just that's a massive bite. So we were aggressive, went after the State Bridge Committee, got the emergency funding on it. So effectively, yes, it's a 1-year put-off.
Well, we will do that when that's the only access point to that area.
Right.
When there's an alternative and we can use somebody else's money.
It's a half-mile detour. I don't want to be harsh.
We're not Klamath County with $90 million in a reserve where you can just write a check.
If this was a one-way in, one-way out, absolutely something gets up for but a half-mile detour, I can't come to the three of you and say we need to drop $1.6 million to make this happen a day earlier. So.
Well, and I think another thing was when the irrigation district got the U.S. Fish and Wildlife involved, now it's stream bed, what do they call that?
Restoration.
Restoration, because they just turn around, looked upstream, and there's that bridge. They go, whoa, we can't have that.
Right.
All those fish come from there.
Right.
They don't, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But now that they're involved, those were on their radar, we're in the quarantine area.
Is there any liability with the irrigation district not maintaining their asset? I mean, wasn't that failed?
There's a debate to be had there. I mean, I don't know. Nobody saw it happen. What it sounds like is a huge root ball basically plugged into that culvert. It filled up kind of like a toilet would, and then, just the weight of it. Where the toe of the spillway met, there was some scour there. Assigning culpability, I wouldn't be the guy to do that, but there was some scour that we had noted. It's actually on the front page of our Redwood Drainage Study, but...
Well, it's your project out there now. I've toured it a couple times.
Based on...
engineering, but a lot of engineering get that.
Yeah, well, based on David Evans' numbers, because we already know where they're at for design and all, what we think we're going to get for bids this fall, I think it will be fully funded through the state thing. I don't think we'll even have a match.
Is that showing up the foundation? I know it's scoured back.
The problem with it, and it's all putting out there. They went to drive piles, and they were at 110 feet and still banging. It is just goo.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
It's going to be new types of spread footing.
It's not Rock Creek. It's called Sand Creek.
110 feet. You're almost down to Rogue River. It's crazy. And they are still pounding.
That's That whole valley out there is sediment.
It's called
erosion.
Yeah.
It's been working for years.
So what's the proposal for the next bridge? I mean, if you're at 110, you're still just, you're proposing your
spread.
Engineering
big spread footings. Yep. Yeah,
you've got to go back a long ways to support the way to the bridge, I guess.
Are you doing this foundation all the way under the river? The river bed?
The bridge length is going to go from 31 feet to, I think, 81 feet.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Anyway.
When the channel's 8 feet deeper, that's where you're at. A couple more quick ones. The Galise Flat Project, 70% plans are in next week. We're meeting on the 10th with Western Federal Lands. That's the guardrail project.
Okay.
Yeah, Federal Lands. We actually got the scale head over to the Historical Society. They were stoked to get that thing.
It was a beast.
It was every bit of 150 pounds to get that in, but they were stoked. Richard probably did a little bit of research and traced it back to 54, I think it was. Yeah.
I was surprised Merlo didn't pick that up for a quarter.
We had that on loan to them. They can't sell that or anything, right?
Right. Maybe it has no residual value either.
I don't care. I don't want that to just be turned over because I could find... I could see us having a spot for it sometime in the future.
Yeah.
So it needs to be delineated.
Maybe get a paper contract.
Yeah.
That this is a...
On loan.
Sure.
On loan.
Sure.
It's really important that we do those things. When we... and getting it on paper and filing it with the clerk. So our easements and right-of-ways at the Forestry Department are historic and worth nothing if we don't file them properly. The same thing with that piece of art in front of the Ann Basker. That was supposed to rotate. I was on the board, and that's the only reason I approved it. It wasn't written down anywhere, maybe in the minutes. And now the art society, there's only one person there that was there when we took possession of that. Just to use an example, they don't want to move it now. And that's not, it wasn't supposed to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'd like to see that possibly in a new forestry building that we built. Would add character.
Sure.
That was what it was for. Yeah. It was for probably weighing logs.
Yeah. You don't see too many scales in 500-pound increments.
Right.
Okay, anything else, Rob?
Next flap coming up, we're going to be applying. At this point, we're going to do Reeves Creek. I just got an area map, so you got an idea of those. So there's Selmac up here. So Reeves Creek, we've got three sets of two culverts that are in bad shape. Who built a road alongside a creek back in the day? I don't know, but they're all going... it's going to be supported by BLM. We're going to get some letters of support from the fire district as well, too, because with the activity and out there, it should be a strong project. I'm guessing $900,000, $1 million. Once you federalize it, who knows? But this is one that's been on our list for 6, 8, 10 years. So if we can get it funded through FLAP, better yet. Waters Creek, back burner. We're working with Forest Service to see if they're interested in participating in that at all. That would be our fallback application. But based on the amount of static we heard on that, I'm not inclined to make that one our number one. TSP, the transportation system plan, we're close on that one. We've got about $200,000 to spend through the TGM grants that ODOT does. The initial proposed scope of work was almost right on there. I'm going to do an add, I believe, for the Rogue River Greenway to decide which route. The Greenway Foundation is actually now looking back at maybe using 99 as the route because as it comes into Tom Pierce Park, there's all kinds of elevation challenges and the railroad. So
some people, speaking of the railroad, working on 6th Street yesterday. They were out there.
That was center one of lane, our things for ODOT. We've got a handful
jarring.
Of things for ODOT coming up next month.
It's like a speed bump in the middle of the intense.
Railroad's big issue is security. That's their big issue. We've got bike trails and stuff alongside the railroad. They don't want people to be able to get out there and put railroad's bikes on the track and flip the train or whatever.
Seriously.
Between I-5, rail, Rogue River, and it's all about like this, bringing the Greenway all the way to this side sounds good, but it might get tough. So part of the TSP, I would like to have them analyze which side of the river makes
more
sense.
Does the element of public exposure improve that? Because now they're kind of in the shadows, and people can do stuff like
that's
that.
Been their hiccup all over.
I did the high rail thing. I'm the only
right away is sacred ground.
The high rail tour from Medford to Sunny Valley, and there's a lot of sketchy areas in the shadows where people are camping out, 50 people or...
I used to do home visits. I had a hike a couple miles down the rail. It was very interesting, and just hoping a train doesn't come.
And
just to do
have,
home visits of tents along
there. If
you
have a bunch of bikers and families and strollers, I don't know, maybe that kind of says, hey, this isn't, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Patrol officers on bikes or something. I don't know.
It's just the crossings are the killer.
Their security issue is paramount.
It could cut both ways.
Railroad. Pinkerton.
Just a thought.
Starting April 11th, Eric Hesacker is going to be over planning every Wednesday morning, 8 to 12. I think that's going to help get in front of a lot more of the project questions we have. He won't actually be doing permits there, but we'll have blank driveway approaches, that kind of a thing, and just start massaging projects before they get out of our way. Planning's excited about it. They've already kind of blasted it out their listserv of all the local land use folks, so I think they'll probably be busy Wednesday mornings.
Is that just one day a week he's going
to
be over there?
Yeah, 8 to 12, we'll see how it goes. And if he gets a lot of hits, then we can look at expanding it.
Good, thank you.
County fleet, the minimum miles policy is working exactly as we hoped it would. So basically we're saying at this point, we're telling folks, you need to drive 1,000 miles a month on your mid-sized pickups and smaller. If you don't, we're going to bill you for 1,000 miles a month. 750 on heavier vehicles, because again, the example got to be the sheriff has like a 2001 Astro van, it's got 16,000 miles on it. So if we went to sell that thing, we'd get $1,000 and we probably only recouped $5,000 of the original purchase price. So it's doing what it was supposed to do. It's squeezing folks out of vehicles they maybe don't need. At this point, we've got 5 vehicles that have already been turned in. I think we're going to get a 6th one. And then Sarah got creative and she said, well, I'm going to buy out all the ones you're going to charge me minimum miles on it. And so they're now the direct bid. If it breaks on her, then she just pays the actual cost, which that's fine. Mm-hmm. Still going to be...
Keeps them in now. When she does that... Mm-hmm. When she does that, you're cycling them out for a reason.
Yes.
And then she puts them into parks. Does she take care of the maintenance on it through parks, or is it still in the motor pool?
It'll be actual cost. So as it were before, if she didn't buy them out and it broke, she'd bring it over and the county fleet pays for it. Now that she's buying them out, if it breaks, it's her nickel to fix it.
Okay, that's
she's
what I was
she's taking the gamble that, yes, they won't break down as much.
That's the question I was asking, is just doesn't stay in the motor pool to where, we just keep a worn-out piece of equipment.
It's in the motor pool for the intents that we're tracking it. It's part of the fleet, but it has no cost. We do not have exposure. Right.
Okay, good. All
so, right. Yeah, we're basically looking at 15 vehicles removed from the county fleet as exposure risk. So I think that was good. Lakeshore Drive is about done. There's basically just 2 steps left. Once the weather turns, they will peel off that thin layer they put on. They actually lay sand, so it'll pop off easily, hopefully. Put a sealant down, then do the final AC lift. That thing's done and shut down. And then last, we've got a couple of projects we're going to try and get out before the end of the year. We had looked at next year, but the GPID Tokay Canal fix up there on Beacon that keeps moving, and then the Azalea Overlay from Merlin to Robertson Bridge coming south. We're going to move them along just because the numbers we're seeing on bids are fantastic. So if we get those out the door, I just assume.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, that Merlin Sidewalk project, 3 of those came in under engineers. I was stunned that thing came in at 612. And we're seeing it on a couple other projects other agencies are doing. So
I think a lot of people geared up when the marijuana industry was ramping up, and now the marijuana industry, they put their infrastructure in. Mm-hmm.
Could be.
So therefore, I've got dump trucks and excavators and stuff sitting there because and nobody call it.
And Oregon Mainline getting the big I-5 project, that changes
that
who's
them
all kind of ripples down. So yeah. So
one question I have, but I think I just locked it. Go ahead.
That's the update stuff. Oh, and then we've got a ball banking project that's through the All Roads Transportation Safety Project where they want us to put additional delineations on curbs and whatnot that ODOT has identified as problematic due to crash history. We're going to do it in-house because we can do about three times as many roads as they can, and it's all paid for.
The Robertson Bridge Road, is that the intersection that's Azalea?
That's the flashing light separate project that's coming up on top of it.
Somebody said that there was a proposal for delineating ahead that through traffic doesn't stop. I mean, wouldn't didn't seem like that rocket science of an idea.
It's got the intersection ahead and all that, but we've got
Pinecrest and...
No, Robertson Bridge.
I think it was the idea that there are, some people stop, but the other people don't, right?
Right.
Or is it a four-way stop?
It is a two-way stop.
That's the kicker. I think that there's some people that don't know. It's not intuitive that not everybody's stopping at this intersection.
Well, there are various intersections. In fact, we're up there by the lantern, what's now Julie's or whatever, traffic doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And they had to put that on Morgan Lane because people were just rolling that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do one better. So that one also qualified for ODOT's ARTS. So it's going to have an actuated flashing beacon on that thing this summer. Yeah. And our match on it was like 8%. So
and
it's $170,000.
We got to do both a flashing beacon and through traffic doesn't stop.
There's additional signage in. It oversizes the stops and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Well, just one. If we can do two, let's do two.
Yeah.
Well, it seems so simple to just tell the person that I've gotten up to that and I'm not totally, are they stopping or are they not stopping?
It's
pink, keep clear on
people have pinged
on
us for a four-way stop. It's
I know. The Fords have been asking.
I have an 11 o'clock fight.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question for you. Phyllis Ray, did her slow sign get put up out there?
We've got them sitting there. Just know we need the pavement's got to be a little bit warmer. But we've got them in-house. So as soon as we've got a dry enough, warm enough day, they'll get torched down.
Okay. Do we have a sign on the side of the road slow or just slow on the pavement?
The bigger slow signs on the pavement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
I just want her fixed.
Solid Waste Agency Summary. All right. Do you have a clicker, Ricky, or I throw something?
You just tell me.
Okay. All right. We'll zip through it quick. All right.
Like
so,
A, please? Oh,
ready?
I have to
click.
Buy?
Yeah, click. All right. So the Solid Waste Agency is a 190 agency that was created back in 2001 by the city and county. The closest approximation is kind of a 911 agency to create a separate entity from those two. It's got three county representatives, three city appointees, and the city of Cape Junction. And it manages...
One.
City of CJ has one, yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you read the report from about a month ago, so if I'm repeating myself, say stop. So effectively, this was created to manage the franchises between the two local haulers, Republic Now and Southern Oregon Sanitation, amongst the agencies. A portion of the funding, so it's collected from the tip fees, basically. Oh, it's going through. There we go.
Is it going by itself?
I think we're good there. So a portion of the franchise fees are going into remediation, and additionally, 15% was set aside as an environmental program fee to attack bigger projects throughout the area. So that would be like the cap that was put on the Marlson landfill a few years ago. Next one. I'll give you all a copy of this so you can have it for later on. But that one is the most telling picture we get in one spot. So what you're seeing there, the blue line are the environmental program fees, blue bars, that come in each year. Those are fairly static. They do change a bit because any profit over 13% that the franchisees get is then split 50-50 with the solid waste agency, effectively city county. So that one you see some
50% of the revenues over 13%. I thought it was 8.
Yeah. The range is 9 to 13. If it goes below 9, it triggers a rate review. Above 13, agency splits 50-50 with the hauler.
What happens what happens in the delta?
9 to 13, they just did. That's their profit for the year. Then, so if they make 11.5%, they make an 11.5%.
So they can make up to 13% on this.
Correct.
That's not bad.
Pretty typical for a utility.
We negotiate that, or is that set by the state? Or
that's in the franchise agreement. It could be renegotiated.
It's like at a 7-year rolling.
I talked to the commissioner in Marion County. His family used to run. I think they still do. The sanitary for Marion County, that area up there.
blanking on his name. It's not Stan. Anyway, I thought his was 8. I thought his was a guaranteed of 8%, and then after that there was a 50-50. So it's just 1%, but we're talking about millions of dollars here in potential revenues over the span of how. So like our ASA agreement with Ambulance Service Area, do we revisit this? And we just set new rates, so...
It is based on... The franchise calls for a seven year rolling automatic extend without the city or the county cracking it open. Right, right. Southern Oregon typically is near that bottom edge, 8 to 9%. I don't think they've had an excess profit. Republic has probably hit above 13%, two of those 8 years shown. The purple bar there, that's the environmental liability fund. You can see there it's moving upwards to about $1 million. So that's what would be used for a big, oh my gosh, we didn't see that spill happening in the Rogue River. The red bar, that's the annual expenditures. The very first year you see is being a huge one. That was the final bond payment on capping the Marlson Lagoon. I'm sorry, landfill.
So that purple bar,
yes.
It's a little bit slower, Rob.
Sure.
I know Lily has to go at 11, but this is a pretty substantial thing that we've really never reviewed. I mean, we've done reviews of it, but so I'm on the Forest Service RAC. Lily's applying for the BLM RAC. They applied last year for $2,700 to remove a truck from the Checo River. I know that's outside of this jurisdiction. But why isn't it just understood that there's this fund to go do things like that? I know there was a car in the Rogue River. Uh-huh. It might have been on the Jackson County side.
Right.
Sarah was freaking out with how to pay to get that truck out of the river. I hate the fact that there's $1 million. I pay a tip fee in my thing,
mm-hmm.
and then we dink around while there's a truck in the river because we don't know who's going to be paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the disconnect between the intent of those tip fees and that 15% collection. And I get that there's, you know, potential liabilities out there of a train derailing and then we have $1 million. That's going to be a major super fund. We're going to have access to others.
Right.
I want more of an effective, quick response strategy with a truck in the river.
Right. And so I think the county and the city need to look harder at how. So how is that going to be rolled out? I do where I can in my scope of influence. So where I spend money, as I say, hey, Sarah, let's get your SDCs paid for through this thing. Let's get the reporting at the two landfills paid for. I feel like I've kind of pushed. So I am struggling to decide how do we publicize this more. I talked to Streeter. You got to clean up. Let me know. Let's apply for funds because the money's there.
And Sarah had a 55-gallon drum out there. You know, she got a bill for $2,000.
Absolutely.
The other day, it's 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
Because some joker just drops off. He didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So he puts it on public property, and it's like somebody else's problem.
Would it be helpful for the board for me to send you a list of maybe all those $0 to $20,000 projects we've done the last 5 years just to brainstorm ideas? I mean, no, like the school came in and they said...
an idea.
Yeah. The school came in and said, can you do 50% funding on removing asbestos tiles from a classroom? Perfect. That's exactly what that stuff should be for. But yes, there is a moderate balance there. And there's... Like you say, who's to say how much is enough? You have a big enough problem, it's a $10 million fix. This doesn't touch it.
No, but that's not where you're going to go, and that's not the intention.
But historically, there is a reasonable balance there.
Can the money that's in there be used as a loan? Like, for instance, I think we used solid waste on 3344.
We used it to bond against the Marlson cap.
Yeah, and then we sell the property, we pay
there's
back the solid waste agency?
Yes. They have the ability to lean a property.
I think that's
And they've
important
done
that. To know.
Yes. I was just talking with Augustus about the process. So it'd be basically the letter comes from code enforcement. Legal actually sends it out then and says, you got 60 days to clean this up. If you don't, we go do it. It's a contractor's lien. Problem is, it still has to go through circuit court, which gets to be 6, 7, 8, 9 months. But that is an option. That's a vehicle to get there. Yeah. But Augustus
they
made
do have an ability to recoup those funds, and I think that's appropriate.
I do too.
So that's been a sticking point with the Solid Waste Agency, I've heard over the years, that they don't want to just grant money out of that willy-nilly on projects that have the potential to repay those funds. The other thing is I see is that we have a deficiency of these funds being used to address
issues.
To do what they're supposed to do. You're not supposed to have $1 million. At some point, there is like, no, you're not doing, not you, but you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing when there's cracks in the system of stuff not being covered by programs who shouldn't have to be paying for these.
Yeah.
I don't want a reservation about, you know, an RV being dumped at the parks or on forest property. That's not their responsibility. That's everybody's responsibility. We just get caught holding the bag.
Right.
And it needs to be, I don't want to publicize the fact that, oh, if you have an old...
Yeah, there's the other balance, right?
But It happens a couple times. We should just deal.
So would it be useful for the three of you to me to send just a list of 15 or 20 just out-of-the-box projects that have come across?
I'm not sure that it's important for us to know that.
I'd like a list.
But it's
like
the solid waste agency that needs to know that these need to be taken care of. Like, it's our intent, the board's, is that I don't want to beg for these dollars.
Oh, right.
That's what they're there for.
I think the part we struggle with is then how do we publicize to make that known? If there's a trailer dumped on Streeter's land, I probably won't know about it. So we need to also push.
So I need to go out to the department heads.
Within department heads as well to say, hey, by the way. So maybe I send that list to them as well to say, here's some things that have been fun over the last 5 years.
Maybe sit down and
see if you fit into this mold.
Right.
But I agree with Commissioner Hare. If there's, I'd say, $1 million in there. That $1 million isn't in. That $1 million needs to move. It's like an ODOT project that you've set on it for so long. ODOT doesn't issue that money. They do it for employment opportunity, and let's keep these guys busy and infrastructure. So.
Where is that $1 million? Is it ours or is it the city's? Who's curating it?
City is the managing agency for that, though, so it's on their books. Right, right.
And so where does the interest revenue go? It's not much.
Right back into this. So then the other piece of this that you don't see on there is at this point, there's $900,000 earmarked for that mixed recycling facility that Southern Oregon Sanitation was
doing.
Are
we still doing that with the fact that there's no market for mixed recycling?
At this point, they're saying it still makes sense to do it. We don't have another recycling option in the area.
Of course they do, but are we evaluating that? I mean,
we've got recycling goals we have to meet, and so it's going to probably get stripped back to just those four commingle type items that we're going to get, so we're still going to have to have a place to bundle those.
We still
want to
keep them $1 million for a project that does recycling when, in reality, when nobody's purchasing it, we're putting all that stuff in a landfill.
Is anyone in Portland purchasing?
Yeah, but once you truck it up there, it loses a lot of the value.
And they sold to China. Well, they're all right. Recyclers, their big customer was
that's
China.
What, right. That's what broke it.
And China says, we don't need it anymore.
I'm having them see if we can reschedule it.
Okay.
So, yeah, the longer-term prognosis was recycling market will rebound enough to make sense for that. But at this point, Southern Oregon Sanitation has not moved on any of the equipment or the facility.
Is the majority of that, so those cumulative beginning fund balance of
the two bars are the accumulated balance. And so then the red is
One's expenses, one's fees?
No, they're two. The purple. So the purple one's the environmental program fee. Those are the more restricted funds that would be for a bigger cleanup type. But the green bar going up, that is accumulated funds that are potentially available for projects. Whether it be a $900 car in a creek or a $900,000 MRF, right?
So the other piece of this is that public health and community development have proposed actually using these funds for an operational position to go after the sites and get things through.
Right.
Has that come to you guys yet?
We're meeting actually today. Mike and Julie have talked about wanting to do that, so I said, let me know when you're ready and we can go through your application and make it good. Because the agency cannot employ people directly, so
it would be a county employee.
It's a grant.
Right, it's a grant, but that's the arm's length we're trying to keep.
You could fund it to Julie.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Next. Again, we can blaze through these pretty quick. I think these are just more of the types of projects. Okay, so this is an annual recurring project. You can just click through these, Ricky. I think there's kind of a stackable. So the city of Grants Pass spends $35,000 on code enforcement, similar type thing to what the county was. We're talking about doing here. They are able to, these are all that go in as liens. Their CSOs go and identify sites. Monitoring and landfilling at Kirby and Marlson, that's a contract we have with Parametrics to basically do DEQ mandated monitoring at those two sites.
How long is Marlson going to go on? That's been decommissioned.
It's going to go on for quite a while. Parametrics is good about pushing back to say, hey, do we have to do that report every 6 months? How about every year? So it's, yeah. But it's, yeah, I mean, DEQ, it's going to be there for a while.
It depends on what the results come in.
Right.
And if you're making progress, like one of the things that we need to do on the landfill, I guess, out of Kirby is get that cover vegetated.
Yep.
And then that will hopefully improve the stability.
No spoilers.
Oh.
That's coming up now.
Okay.
I
just mean that when I took office, that $55,000 per year for monitoring, it was higher.
It was, yeah, 66, 68. So it's frustrating. It's DEQ. But, yeah, Parametrics is pretty aggressive.
Down more.
You would hope. Yeah, yeah.
Do we have a goal? I mean, when they say,
Yeah, DEQ
you
does.
Get to a certain level.
Once the VOC, once the volatile organic compounds get below, yeah, whatever, 3 parts per billion. I couldn't recite scripture and verse, but that's the basic.
It'd be nice
premise.
To know what the goal is, and then see if they move the goalpost when it gets closer to keep
well,
the program
will.
Going.
We probably don't want to know. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
we, went through that with the creosote pond out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
finally called put a halt to that?
Cost advantage of exploring siting a landfill in Josephine County. We don't have one, so we truck everything. Over there.
Right.
I know it could be an arduous process, but I think we need to think about some longevity and efficiencies. So what is the possibility
yeah.
of, in the Kirby footprint, saying that's not a bad place, we're going to open up another 10-acre landfill.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be a bigger, yeah, discuss it with the franchise haulers. I know that Dry Creek has some of the lowest rates in the state, and I don't know if that's because
and
of the location.
Has 20 years of capacity.
Right, right. So that may be the wrinkle. And I don't know how apt DEQ is to say put another landfill in. I don't know if that hurdle's getting higher and higher.
Well, I just am trying to think about the fact that could take 10 years
oh,
to
yeah.
decide a new one.
Oh, I'm sure.
The time to thinking about that is not when Marl Sand is, when
Dry Creek
is full.
Yeah.
And if you're going to site a new one, let's do it. And our population is growing. We've exceeded our expectations on
MPO.
That. It just makes sense that we think about that, not at the 11th hour.
There's right. a tremendous amount of money that's spent going back and forth to Dry Creek.
Oh, so sure.
The transfer element, they don't take your garbage truck that comes gets your trash can is not the garbage truck that goes over there.
Right.
They go to that transfer station. I mean, there's all these inefficiencies mm-hmm. built into a system that could be a lot different if we...
And it's going to end up at a landfill over there, so what's the big deal?
Right.
Built state-of-the-art one here with cogeneration and everything like
that.
Yeah. That was my first campaign deal. We don't have the capacity here, but I thought we have inefficient... We don't have a high utilization of the rail system. So Douglas County has just been given more space or something for their landfill, but I thought we could be
bring
the central point, bring it here... Do a coal fire, a cogen facility, burn it.
By rail.
Alexandria heats their Alexandria, Virginia heats their population based off of the trash that they produce. So and it's like 99.9% zero emissions. It's pretty amazing. Nice symbiotic.
Put enough air to it, it'll burn clean, guaranteed.
Yep.
The Solid Waste Agency funds the household hazardous waste. That's the annual take back where folks can bring in pesticides, chemicals, whatever the heck they're not using. It's a big winner. The county gets an additional $6,000 to clean up bikeways on the routes leading to the dumps. So that's your Pinecrest, Upper River Road, Merlin Sanitarium. Clean Forest Project. Do you have a question?
Kirby?
We don't have anything. You don't see a whole lot there. Yeah, there's no bike routes, right? Clean Forest Project used to do quite a bit of work for the agency. They've disbanded, so there's another hole that used to attack a lot of these projects that are out there. We're talking about the abandoned vehicles, the trash, and whatever. So there is definitely a hole that has not been filled with the demise of Clean Forest.
There was a structure, a group that's the off-roaders or something over in
the
Curry County.
Bike track guy. Oh.
I don't remember what it was called, but Court Boyce was telling me about it. It's incredibly successful. A bunch of volunteers.
Yeah,
I
reached out to him. I did not hear anything back. I don't know if you get a chance to ping him again.
Well, he's running for Congress. He's a little distracted. So.
That could be. Yeah, I pinged him based on your recommendation.
Yeah.
The community tire cleanup out in Ivy, that's fantastic. They usually get like the football team to help, too, and they get a ton of tires dragged back out of the crease.
Or just Ryan Nolan, because nobody showed up last year.
Yeah, right. I think he did. Him and Bullwig humped it all out themselves, and it was
I did it for a few hours.
Yeah.
Or an hour.
It's crazy.
That was...
And then the Rogue River.
Big old tractor tires with mud in them.
Oh, yeah.
It was,
if you can wheel it in there,
you were working.
And it's an insane number of them. And the cleanup event, that's the week before Boatnik every year where the boaters all go down. And that runs through parks. So Sarah gets $6,000 to help offset the cost of that program. But it's.
Clements County has a free dump day coming up this weekend or something like that.
Hmm.
I thought that was interesting. I imagine that just breaks the bank. But,
of anything?
Apparently. I'm sure there are parameters, like one truckload per household
or
something.
Kind of
like
the household hazardous waste, but anything.
Yeah, I don't know that you could have the capacity to handle all that in one day or anywhere.
Don't give too much notice on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'd like an individual notice to go to every residence.
Yeah. So people save up all year long.
They can walk down the sidewalk to the dump and put... Okay.
Something to consider, but we're going to... I think the proposal of having somebody pay for, that whole nexus and aggressively going after people who are just egregious
mm-hmm.
and hitting these
can't, you know, what the young wants to do, making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Intermittent projects. So these would be the ones I could certainly send you a deeper list of the kinds of things we're doing. So it's, you know, been removing asbestos tiles from public spaces. Schools had like $3,000 of chemicals they couldn't get rid of recently. There's the sewer park. Yeah, the hookup that we did for Sarah. The plastic roundup we used to do, same thing, bottom fell out of that. There was no market in it. Bought the prescription drug take-backs box over there. DEA actually pays to pick those up now. So, upcoming projects, no, that was kind of the lead-in. So there's not, you know, next one, Nikki, sure, yeah.
It wants to do its own thing, I apologize.
So, yeah, the upcoming projects is kind of open-ended at this point. To your point, Commissioner, the first acre plus is going to be recovered this spring. We were not able to get anything working with City of CJ. Once Bullwig left, it kind of fizzled.
Yeah.
We are using our ditching materials out there, which is great. Gives us a spot to put them out there, and they're cheaper. We just have to do a little bit of testing for oil and whatnot. But basically, we're taking the ditching materials from Kirby 6th Street and going across the street. We need some more signage at Marlson. Just we got folks out there riding motorcycles where they shouldn't be. And then potentially, I don't know if Sarah's got additional qualifying work on the shorter park sewer system, but I would throw that out again as well if it's there, or any other park, frankly, using that same model as we did. So,
I have a question, because there's a landfill above Marlson. Yeah. What are we having to do with that? Is anything ever happened with that, or is it just...
The landfill's covered. That's the cap.
Okay.
It's the lagoon didn't have a whole lot done to that. That did not have the level of excitement, but it's the landfill that's generating all the VOCs and nasty stuff.
But a little known that there was a landfill there. There was one up on Foothill Boulevard, too.
Yeah.
That's
so the plume kind of moves down towards the river from there.
We are in need of getting replacement representatives on solid waste. Who is the board who appoints those, BCC?
There was not a formal process in the past. The agency basically just says it will leave it to city council or the commissioners as to how new members are appointed. So at this point, yeah, Brad Carlson has left, and...
It feels like we made a formal order to appoint Connie.
Do it from Connie. That was the last one.
Steve left.
Yeah.
So kind of representing elected.
I know the nexus for Connie, and I kind of have talked to her a little bit about it, but we need to make sure that we have the representation on that. It reflects the need, and
the nuisance. I mean, there is some point of the community kind of asking us to do something about the ordinance complaints we're getting, the code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So having representation that's understanding of that would be.
And just because the person is appointed as a representative doesn't mean that Sarah or Streeter can't attend those.
Mm-hmm. I would
same
recommend
thing with the Economic Development Committee, just because, you know, when we first did education, wasn't on there, but that doesn't mean they can't show up and go.
Right.
So I think that's also really
as important. He gets plugged in, I would definitely recommend Augustus comes to those. I think he'd be a great resource.
Yeah.
Just he's kind of hearing both sides.
Yeah.
But at this point, Justin is the presumed interim appointee. ..
Justin who?
Remember, is taking over for Brad Carlson.
He's his counterpart in environmental health.
My concern is it's that restricted little level of under the purple. I want us to meet that one above, and so I want to make sure that whoever representative is on there is looking at the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that you find somebody on that appointment that isn't just the subject matter expert, but has the, I don't know, wherewithal to just say, like, Commissioner DeYoung shows up, what he asks for in that meeting is probably what that agency, that group ought to do.
And there's nothing precluding a commissioner. I mean, there's a city council person on it.
We've never had one, and I don't think it's a bad idea. It needs to be a reflection of the liaisons that I think touch those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you've had the conversation of either Julie or myself as well.
Yeah, I like the idea of a director, frankly. And you can rely on the person in your office, as anybody would do, should do. And then we need a collective, I think there needs to be a county core committee that meets once or twice a year, and we talk about
projects.
Mm-hmm.
The phase two assessment on the B place, what's it?
Oh, Busk?
Busk. The Busk, you know, and writing those things down and saying in 2018 we will get that done.
Uh-huh.
We're going to appropriate money.
Well, maybe that's what we do. We look at who the representation is. We see with Connie, you know, is that something she wants to continue or feels is a good fit or not? And do we need to find a replacement or just for the Brad's position? I know Julie and Mike both have talked about it and as far as whatever staff. But creating that committee in-house of all of those players involved so that we make sure that It's actually connecting back to what our needs are in the county. That's the piece that I feel is missing.
I think the need has gone up, but the utilization of that is flatlined.
We've done that with property, is the example that I would say with those property sales, and that's incredibly effective. Brad used to come to those meetings, people, and that moved the ball down the field, and it did it collectively. So I would suggest that we organize it in that kind of a sense, and not that a commissioner would need to be on the solid waste agency, but there'll be a liaison to convene those people on a regular basis and just get the ball moving down the field. So I wouldn't mind doing that first. I don't want to, obviously, I'm not going to be here much longer. I wouldn't mind starting it with the same model that I've done with property and then handing it off to whoever it needs to be and letting it go. Does that sound okay?
You want to be the rep for the agency for the last?
No.
Oh, well, I thought you were so. Oh.
I don't want to be the county convener for the interested party.
You didn't see that coming?
I almost had him. I was going to say, I could pick him up.
I see that group making a determination that who should represent of the county.
Sure.
But we all have the players at the table.
Right.
Let's see what that'll look like, because I'm very interested in that.
Given the somewhat loose nature historically, is that all right with Justin at the next meeting till we get this other part dialed in, or do you just want to go with two reps? I don't know.
I don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mind Weber sitting in on that.
Okay.
So I think he needs to run the point.
Okay.
From his office, and then we'll convene this real soon, this committee, if that's okay.
Do you guys want point on getting the committee together then, or do you want me to take it on? Okay.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Happy to. And I'll try to cast a wide net, and then those who don't need to show up to those future ones. That's their determination, but they all need to be invited.
Mm-hmm.
They all need to hear something similar to this,
because
I think some people are starting from scratch with their information on it, and this is good.
Places you never thought it would touch.
Person that would be good for a presentation is also be like Denise. She's the one that sees all this.
Right. Oh, yeah.
She's got the pictures.
That's
you
it.
Know, you know what? This is what this
well,
is.
Well, and I'd like to get the nonprofits involved again a bit too. We had a project years ago that the Boy Scouts worked on, and it was a small give. I want to say it was like $3,500, but it was a good project, and those kids put in a lot of work. So I mean, that's with the Clean Forest Project gone, that's a hole that's not.
They got a badge for it.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes to your idea of capturing a penny on a cup. And
I talked to Jennifer Wheatley about that from Dutch Brothers.
Yeah.
She went, "What?" And I said, "Yeah." And I went through the whole program, and she goes, "Amazing!" And I see it every
day.
She's
so charming.
Huh?
Just kidding. It's a great idea.
No, it is, and it funds it. It would bring in. That's the key: is that it not only is it a good program, but it also creates revenue to get the job done. Everybody goes, "Well, where are we going to get the money for that? Where are we going to get the money for that?" Well, guess what? It's there. Like, how much was on going out to the landfill? You get what, $16,000 annually to just clean up the stuff. This could be all done by somebody else.
My mom, she walks the Caves Highway once a month. My mom and dad used to do it. One time he found $20. Mm-hmm. He was throwing out trash. It's $20 bills, but there's a lot of marijuana. Anyway, people don't know what they're doing. She's always said, you know, she's on a very fixed income. She wouldn't mind that being her job. She loves the effect of, you know, cleaning up the road and hates to see the trash.
One of the things that Travis was interested in the Joe Clean Project is that what are you doing for the youth? You're teaching the youth not to be litter bugs going forward. Yeah. Right now they're... And I go, "Hey, don't do that. I have, you know, I picked that stuff up. Once they have experience
doing
that."
Somebody has to pay for that. Right?
Exactly. I've had experience picking up trash. I don't like it. So.
Sounds
anyway,
good.
Let's get going. Lily?
Sorry, I'm just looking at how many items are still on our agenda.
Thank you very much,
good.
Rob.
Okay.
Rob, thank you. Let's get down to the other end of the table and figure out what we've got going next. Cash for trash.
The Rob is done. Next up, 3B, Human Resources. J.J. Schofield on board. Request for approval of maintenance assistant.
I have my quarterly update first.
Department.
That'll be quick.
Okay.
So, for my quarterly update, first thing is recruitment. That's kind of been our big hopper. We've had 589 apps come in since January 1st, filled 23 positions. Of great import is our status with the Sheriff's Department. So there's 9 current open positions within their deputy ranks, 8 of those which are in the process. So they've selected people, and there's a pretty lengthy process before they actually come on board.
Now, I have a question on that.
You have 9 open. You have 8 in process. Of that, probably 4 are going to fail. Are you over starting into the system or not? Or do you just wait till one fails and then refill it?
So we put it out strategically. So we've kind of tapped the current market. So we don't want to, like, post it and then a week later post it again because you've already gotten the people that are in the pool. And I don't know if 4 will fail. It could be that we fill all 8. But we have 8 that are currently in the process. It's a pretty lengthy process in between background checks and all the various things you do before they actually come on board. The point being is that our intention was to get that up to speed so we can get up to 185 as quick as possible. And we're tracking.
Please, we're coming down to it wasn't the promise, but it was we campaigned on the fact that it would take about a year to get this thing up to speed. Juvenile is already up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
In record amount of time, but the sheriff is lacking. We only have 2 more months to go. So that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, his people graduate this month, so I think he's going to meet his target.
Well, hopefully so.
He's looking to be at 185, I think, by, like, August is what he was saying.
Okay. Well, I just need everybody to know that people are watching that.
Well, they should be, and they are tracking according to what you would expect. So we're in bargaining with a couple of different unions, AFSCME and SAIU. So that's two big projects. Those will take 2 to 3 months to get through those contracts.
And we gave direction on those already? I've done this a couple of times.
Fairly nominally. I'll be meeting with the board in the next few weeks to kind of say, this is where we're tracking, and we haven't gotten to the fiscal aspect
of
bargaining yet.
You're just refining the rules, so to speak.
Yeah. I've had 1 meeting with one of them and 2 with the other, so it'll be a bit. One thing I think is of special note is, so Cecilia Cornish in my office has been a staple. She's terrific. Her replacement is actually starting today. She'll be with us for another week full-time and then another few weeks after that part-time to help transition to the new person into her position.
We're really going to miss her. She has been through the trenches, going through the downsizing, which was an incredible feat to move 130 people out the door and then to rebuild, and the same size, pretty much the same size staff.
Yeah.
And she's been through 2 directors. She's done a lot.
Well, I'm going to assume that when you move 130 people out the door, you're not divested of them. You've got a lot of follow-up that needs to be documented after they're gone. So.
Yeah, a lot of them. We're on call lists and all kinds of stuff. So she's been a tremendous asset to the county as a whole.
Systems and, big stuff.
Yeah, so she'll be missed. I mean, we've got a great candidate to replace her, but it'll be a ways until she's up to speed. But Cecilia's done a fabulous job. I have nothing but amazing things to say about her, and we'll miss
her.
Wage analysis, just so you're on the loop on what I'm looking at currently. So we have the non-union wage analysis. All the elected officials, I'm 99% done with the elected official. We do that annually. All the SEIU members as part of bargaining. And then with AFSCME, we're going to look at 11 different classification within AFSCME for this next round of bargaining. And then lastly, for OEB, we're going to finalize our rates for next year in the next couple of weeks at a meeting. So we'll have our finalized insurance
back
rates.
Up, would it be appropriate to do something for Celia to a weekly business session? Recognition.
Okay.
Our rates are going down?
No, they never go down, unfortunately. It's the nature of insurance.
The coverage does.
We do work pretty hard on that.
Going down?
So we have insurance is just insurance is just a mess nationwide, and so we work hard to limit the increase. One of the things I appreciate about being part of OEB is our rate increase is significantly less than what you're seeing in the individual market.
It's really interesting talking to other counties and what they do for their compensation. A lot of them still have varied tiers, so there is an equal compensation for employees who do equal work. Some are benefiting, tremendously. The average rate, I think, for Deschutes County, for instance, is $1,600 per employee, and ours is $982. It's not, and it's the same. I think that's such a positive thing that we did a few years ago, that there's just compensation for people who are doing just work, and I'm really proud of that. I think that should be a model that the rest of the counties do, but it's hard to make that transition.
I've had a number of conversations with people out in the public, and they are usually very surprised when I tell them that our directors, our board of commissioners, have the exact same insurance as a secretary or any other position in the whole county. So I think there's great value in that. So moving to what's on the agenda, first thing is our facilities department has I'm going to call it an open position that's been existing for quite some time. It's an unfilled position, and by unfilled means it doesn't have an accounting employee in it. He's been filled it with a temp for about 5-6 months. So he'd like to move that from a filling it with a temp to having an actual county employee.
Is he looking to hire that temp as move them into permanent?
So we looked at, he's done a handful of recruitments, and traditional recruitments hasn't been very successful in finding the best applicant for that. So he's worked through a temp agency to put someone through the ringer to see whether they'd fit. So what this position is it is a hybrid position between a custodian and a maintenance employee. And so that's why we're calling it a maintenance assistant. So they are basically a daytime custodian who also does lower-level maintenance work.
The kicker is that when we have an issue anywhere in the county, we don't have a custodian on duty during the day, so a high-cost maintenance person is having to do those custodial things, and it's not efficient in this program. So,
but he can still do maintenance.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so this is a hybrid position that does a little of both. It does the lower-level maintenance stuff. And they're not doing electrical work and that sort of stuff. They're doing lower-level maintenance work, but they also can do custodians.
And I'm 100% supporter. I think it's very efficient for this program, and it handles the stuff that inevitably comes up every day.
So that's, pretty easy thing. It's in his budget, so there's not a much of a budget impact. It's just because he's been filling it with a temp instead of having a county employee do it. Okay. Lastly, I had kind of a last-minute person who was on my elected comp committee who ended up not being able to do or not willing to do it. So I did a little sleuthing and have an excellent candidate to replace him. Joe is currently working for WorkSource. He does a lot of private sector and public sector work with businesses, finding them help, looking at their wage analysis, looking at their structural needs. And so someone with that skill set will be a terrific asset in the elected comp committee, because the work that we do in that committee is exactly what he does in his day job. So I would recommend the board appoint Joe to the elected comp committee.
Okay. Who did we lose on that?
Larry West.
Larry West. Okay. Yeah.
I would support that.
I don't understand. Why is Larry leaving again? Because he's applying for the budget committee.
Part of it is because he was interested in the budget committee. He's been on the elected comp committee for 4 years, so he just wanted to take a break from doing that.
Been on the budget committee for at least a term, if not
more. So, I mean, Larry's done a great job of being a great asset to the committee, but he just kind of wanted to take a step back from doing that.
That's a four-year?
There's no term limit on the budget on this one. It just said that you have to have one, but it doesn't have any specification on how long someone stays.
There should be something. I think that we would like it consistent with budget committee appointments, which were 3 years, so maybe we do that. That there's some expectation that this doesn't happen forever, and there's an opportunity to reappoint, but that we have the ability to trade it out, and I think that that's probably.
I think that would add, that would give us some forewarning that somebody is coming up, and they can say, "Well, I'm not going to re-up," rather than just all of a sudden out of clear blue sky say, "Well, I'm done."
And I think Larry's done an excellent job. He's really creative in his thought process as far as being, equitable and fair, but also understanding our fiscal challenge and, we can't meet every need. And it's not always about keeping up with the Joneses, so.
And their recommendation comes to the budget committee anyway.
Yeah, the elected salary, it's by statute, it goes to an elected comp committee who makes a recommendation to the budget committee, but they don't have any authority to say thou shalt, it's just a recommendation.
Okay.
And the budget committee has
accepted
Hare, some
are
of them.
Okay
and
with,
yeah, I am.
Okay, that's three of us. We'll move that forward. That be consent?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and that's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Moving on to item number four, the finance report and business update, Arthur O'Hare. Resolution number 2018-016 in the matter appointing the Josephine County Budget Committee.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
So what we had is the previous member ended their three-year term, and so we advertised or sent out a press release. We received six applications back.
And she didn't want to be reappointed.
Correct, yeah, the one who ended the term didn't want. So we received six applications. I'm favoring the Callahan I thought that she would bring, she's actively involved in the community, has a very good perspective as far as senior, working with the seniors of the community. She
favorite
has
who?
Callahan, Jamie.
Jamie Callahan.
Yeah. And I think we have several good candidates, really. I mean, it's a great problem to have. There's some good people.
We have
there.
Two other CPAs on the applications. Karen Bodeving
right.
is one.
And we have, my second choice really would have been Karen also. Karen has some hard skills, CPA, business person, and brings that to the table. I think she is also maybe Cave Junction person, so that gives
that
a little bit broader.
That would be my pick over the other. Senior stuff doesn't necessarily mean they have budget skills.
No, she's a businesswoman, though. She works through RV Cog and works with senior programs there and has her own business. So I think she has the business skill and the financial skill to be able to look at a big picture, and I'm talking about Callahan now. Look at
the
bigger picture.
To consider is that you've got elements of your portfolio accomplished, and so representative of the community is also a consideration for me. When I think I've appointed four or five different people to the budget committee, and you're looking at structure being balanced, and the other member, private sector member of the committee, has that CPA element.
Right, Steve is
and I'm
a good,
looking for less
strong
of
financial.
Getting down into the fiscal, crossing T's and dotting I's. Frankly, we have professional staff who provide this budget. I'm looking for a vision, philosophical reflection of the community when I'm looking to these appointments. The same thing for the Rural mm-hmm. Planning Commission, that we have a balance of the portfolio of who's on there already. And that if you have a niche solved by somebody mm-hmm. that you can look at. Like the thing that for Karen that might be a positive, her CPA for sure, mm-hmm. but the representation
from CJ
Cave Junction might be also a consideration. I still think Jamie has some perspective that lends it. I like the element of veterans. Commissioner DeYoung talked about yesterday that economic driver, and that we're looking through the lens of the people that may be underserved, just like Cave Junction, and a driving element. 60% our voters are average age 60 plus years old,
mm-hmm.
and our community is going in that direction more so. That we're making sure that when we're looking at the fiscal allocations, that we're considering veterans and that we're considering the senior population, and she's engaged with both, and looking to try to do. I think being a proprietor of the Food and Friends portion, which it just dawned on me last night, that I know that that's a ways out, but for the veterans needing a place to play, they don't have that space fully allocated up there, and there'd be handicap accessible, potentially veteran service up there, and maybe...
Here, you can have a sticky if you need it, or you
got
it there.
I got it. Yeah.
Just as a possible location in the future, either for all of veteran services, because they need somebody to lease space up there, or for just the...
Where are you talking?
Just the music, the Food and Friends?
The new
church
on
9th Street that would be the senior meals?
That came to me kind of last night.
That's actually really wise. Well done, sir.
Wise. Don't get.
Sorry, I'm trying to help with the ego.
Please, Commissioner Morgan, don't encourage it. He's on a roll today. I got to
just a thought.
Maybe
long term.
I think the hard skills are great, but like you pointed out, I don't think we're not asking the budget committee to perform those hard skills. We're not asking them to do the mathematical. Make sure it balances. Make sure everything's allocated. We're looking more at the program skills, the big picture oversight. What is the county funding?
Is
this in line? Yeah, is this in line with our goals
and
our directives?
Thought. So she came up with this idea of that veterans breakfast, not on her own. It was,
who did? Lisa did.
No. What's her name?
Jeannie Callahan.
Callahan.
I don't know her at all.
Off of the thing that they do in Medford and other parts of the country. I mean, she's engaged in those cutting... Okay. Leading edge kind of deals, and I like that. That seems like, and also what we're doing this next couple of years is that long term visioning element in our budget. The ability that we thought we could do a 2-year was phenomenal, that's what I hope this board continues to do, is looking at those long-term strategies. And
we're trying to build that
like
in.
The vision
I mean,
that
we're asking for
brings to the table.
I have a question, because on our resume it said I serve on the Senior Advisory Council with RVCOG, as well as boards in our industry at the state and national level. During the 16-17 legislative session, I was helpful to write and pass a new law in Oregon for our industry. Yet she states no industry. What industry is she?
Senior.
In the senior services industry, is that what she's leading?
Yeah, team senior referral services, your local senior living experts. Founder and co-CEO of that.
So you have more information than we do, because this application does not have...
She said she doesn't have a
that kind of information.
This is the email that was connected to the application.
We don't have that email.
Sorry about that.
So I guess my question I would have is that they're not a policy group. And so having ideas of direction, it's kind of like, okay...
they're just approving. They're not making changes to. They're only approving.
Right. The role of the budget committee.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Oh.
No,
well,
I just
on the same page. But I can also see a role in prioritization of how resources are allocated, and just providing that kind of feedback. It's really that balance of the public sector being us, and then the balance of the private sector being there. Every budget committee in the state has a balance of private versus public. And that's really kind of an opportunity to shore up the, well, we have a couple of dollars, and where would those best be allocated? And you've said, Commissioner DeYoung, look at our return on an investment in the Veterans Office. If we hired another Veteran Service Officer and we brought in another $5-10 million of that, we just allocated $280,000 to the airports. And what are we leveraging out? I don't know the economic return on that. But your dollar could return 100 times the investment. So that's the perspective that I see. We really have never done that in a budget cycle before. We haven't had the luxury to think like that. My thought would be, laying out that long 5-year, multi-year budget style and setting that.
Well,
and having it reinforced by people who we put on this committee.
Do we have any consensus? We have two. We have a member and an alternate.
No, that's the Planning Commission. There are no alternates on the Budget Committee.
So there's one opening.
One opening.
Correct, there's one opening. And there, we have three commissioners, so we have three Budget Committee private members. So that's the Oregon budget law.
And I like Jim Brumback having a very integrated element into the community and the financial element, owning your own business and her involvement. It's kind of along those lines. And then we have... Mr.
Welsh,
the financial guy.
He's a financial planner.
I still like that Karen brings the CJ connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's real positive.
And,
I
business
think both
owner
of them are good,
as well. So
both of them are good candidates.
They're the only two I'm considering.
Yeah,
that's
both of them are great candidates. Yeah, I'd be happy with either one. I guess I kind of lean toward Callahan because. I was thinking more of those soft skills of the program viewpoint of what services the county provides, which is really what the budget committee's role is to look at whether the budget reflects the goals and directions of the county, and that's more so than just strictly financial. But you have to be able to be comfortable with financial information because that's what the budget.
That was really well put, Arthur. You should write that down somewhere.
I'll look at the minutes and say, remember.
You may be called on to repeat that. So
it's hard to articulate to the budget committee what their role is, and I think one of the struggles we've had with past appointees is they didn't necessarily understand what their responsibility is, and they get into the point of policy and it's like, no, you needed to be part of the conversation as a board member back when we put out the directives to the budget and its creation.
Well, and it's the role of the Board of Commissioners, specifically in our charter. It says you are the administrative head of the county. So that's really your role, is to ensure that the budgets are crafted to your goals and your directions. The Budget Committee, of course, the second role of the Budget Committee, very important, is to hear public comment. So that's their... to ensure that the public has a chance to to give some input on the budget. So
we got two.
I'm pretty supportive of Jamie. I think her involvement in the community and the vision for me is the big one going into this next couple of years, that I think we're going to need to lean into that pretty heavy. You guys have the luxury of being able to do that, and it's going to be great. And I think she would be a good partner in that effort. I can't say anything bad about Karen Bodeving. So they're both good candidates. So, and I know them both pretty well.
So it's Welch still on?
Yes.
Correct.
Will he be there this year?
Both of them, yes, will be here. But Jim and Steve both will be here.
Because he wasn't last year.
Steve?
Part of it. He missed.
He came to a meeting and then was gone.
Oh, he met on
he was on
break
vacation.
Or vacation or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah. So that's all I'm asking, is if the vacation interferes this year too.
Right. No. We crafted or arranged the two times so that we could accommodate both of their schedules.
Well,
both Jim and...
I would hesitate to have two CPAs on there because you're kind of doubling up on their expertise.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what his background is either, but
yeah.
He should be
either.
In that ballpark.
You have so far, he's...
Yeah.
All right. I'll support Jamie. I would say run the schedule by her. If she can't do it, then we go to the next choice.
Her schedule's pretty busy, but...
She says she needs advance warning, but can be flexible. So
right.
If she's not... Yeah. So if she's not going to be available, then I would recommend we go with the other one.
Karen Bodeving.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I will verify that and get back to you hopefully today. And on if she
for
gets
sure.
back to me
there's
today
no
or tomorrow.
We're out next
true,
week.
True, that's right. You are out. Okay.
So we won't do anything for 2 weeks,
you know,
but
that's
get,
right.
Let's get
okay.
some.
All right. I'll find
okay.
out.
So
get
that,
we're not
so
having
that's
first meeting
all right.
for a while.
Thank you.
Right.
There's no responsibility of theirs until their budget. The budget.
No, the way I'm crafting the budget this time around, very similar to the way some other municipalities do it, Jackson, Grants Pass, is that the first meeting will be a somewhat abbreviated meeting. You'll take care of your housekeeping, elect a chair, vice chair.
Electric chair.
I will present the budget to you folks at very same meeting. Give a budget message. We'll hear public comment. Dismiss. We'll be 2 weeks later then. So that'll give all the budget committee plenty of time to overview the budget, you know, figure it out, take, and then we'll have presentations on.
We'll select presentations at that agenda.
Correct. We'll select presentations at that, set the next meeting date. So I think it'll be a good schedule.
Okay.
We need to be comfortable with that because people have been critical of the fact that we release it 48 hours,
right.
days, a week. This
right.
is similar to other municipalities, but it isn't, I don't know if it's the norm, it's just an accepted practice and meets the
yeah.
state minimum requirement that...
I did a survey of folks, financial directors, and it's probably about half of them present at the very first meeting. I think the criticism was more towards... We don't, at that first meeting, we were having presentations, we were deliberating on program budgets, programs, services provided, and people didn't have as much time to look at the budget. You know, they got it that Friday, and we had the first budget meeting on Tuesday. And at that first budget meeting, we were having presentations and having some discussion. Well, okay, we won't do that this time. I'll give it to you on Tuesday, and we won't have those deliberations and presentations and discussions. We'll set that up for the next meeting, which the next meeting will be, you know, give you a week or 2 weeks, whatever the budget committee decides. And then that way, they'll have plenty of time, budget committee will have plenty of time, and the citizens will have plenty of time to take a look at the budget and provide their feedback.
I think when we talk about this, it's not so much important that everybody is at 100% ready to go on the first budget meeting of the 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. You should
right.
be comfortable with it by the time we're done,
right.
not at the first meeting of the budget. You'll know what programs are going to be talked about at that first meeting. That's your top priority. But it's not eating the elephant in a day. It's eating it throughout the process.
Mm-hmm.
And if our process is 2 months long. You really don't have two is, weeks yes. to become an expert on the budget. You have 2 months. That's what I would want us to kind of couch and talk about. Mm-hmm. That you need to be up to speed for the first programs being presented. And right. Your questions should have an opportunity to be answered, not on the first meeting, but by the end of the process.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, once we have once the budget committee is done with that, that's not the end of the process. No. You still have
the board to do stuff.
Publication, then you have a public hearing. And
I think
so it's
a slide outlining, like when we do a project or whatever, mm-hmm. those elements and intersections of possible opportunities for the public to weigh in, that could be advantageous to put up out front.
Yeah.
And
I could do that as part of my budget message.
Yeah. Does that sound... Because I think it's okay. A false expectation that people say, well, you have 2 weeks to review a 100-page, you know, $100 million budget. No, you've got 2 months to do it.
Okay. Very good.
It's a wrong...
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Anything else, Commissioner Morgan? Do you have any further questions? Mm-hmm. Seeing none. Arthur, thank you very much. Item 5 is other business. Any other matters should come before the board at this time?
I talked to... No, I can be under matters, under C, if that's okay. I don't have anything for specific.
Okay. Moving along to item number 6, board business. 6A is resolution number 2018-004, matter of appointments to the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. Commissioner Hare.
Yes, this has been challenging, and I don't really want to do this ever again. So luckily, I probably won't have to. What my recommendation is, I have 4 applications to fill a spot and an alternate, and however, the Urban Planning Commission has an appointment necessary to fill in June. These have been vacant for a while. I don't think there's anything wrong with being proactive. They're very similar genres, however, one is in the city, and one, it's a county appointee to the City Urban Planning Commission. You guys probably know that because you guys appointed most of those on the city. I think we only have 2 positions. One's open. We have 1 applicant that qualifies for that appointment, and I'm going to recommend that person fill that spot. And so her name is Stephanie McBrayer.
To the city one?
To the city one.
Okay.
And
she's come to our last few meetings.
Yeah. And that's...
Who is that for the city one?
Stephanie McBrayer. Her expertise is in city planning, and I think that would be, advantageous. She's the qualified member of the applicant pool to do that. All the other ones are county residents, and they need to be a city.
That, I think, is a county resident as well.
I thought I had a check. Whoever's the city?
Colon Road. Where's Colon Road?
I thought it's off of Chattery.
You're kidding.
No.
There is a person. Maybe
it was
Teresa
the other
Cook.
One. It was Teresa Cook. You had the phone
That's
conversation
the
with her.
Yeah, I don't
say.
Care.
Okay.
You know
what I mean?
Okay.
It's just...
Teresa
Cook is the one that's in the
Juliet
city.
Juliet Lane?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the city one.
I apologize.
And that's the city one, okay.
That one's not.
No.
So I just want to verify, but...
It's marked as though she's not in the city, and that one is. I just missed it. I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah, that's off of Fitchhatchery.
Other.
Past Southside, even.
Thank
so
you for catching me, because that's the whole intent. This all, you got to put the pieces in the right places.
Okay.
And that's the piece that fits.
She served on another city planning. She served on a city council in another municipality and lives in the city limits.
Okay, so she's the...
City...
Representative?
The county representative to the Urban Planning Commission.
Okay, so this one is the county rep...
Here, I'll
Teresa is the county rep to Urban.
Here, I'll give you a sticky.
Yeah, give me a flow chart here. You're good with those flow charts. You following this, Ricky?
And that's open in June.
It doesn't matter. We'll just write it down.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
And that current person is not requesting to be reappointed, which is fine. It's kind of nice to have people serve multiple terms. It takes a while for most people to kind of get up to speed with the processes and their role and responsibility on anyone. This is one of the most challenging ones to fill, because there's few people who are interested, and it needs to have certain elements of their resume to fill those spots. Ward Ockenden actually is an applicant who didn't serve two terms, served one. I know there's some political challenges, and he wouldn't deny this, but I think that's one of the reasons why it's important, not just for him, but everybody, is the future liaisons, potentially either one of you, to community development. It's really important that you attend the Rural Planning Commission meetings, and we pick people strategically, and they know that they serve at the pleasure of the board. I wouldn't have any problem in telling Christina
Gardner
that she's not serving in the best interest. She has didn't disclose a potential conflict of interest and a bias in this last land use hearing, and I didn't feel like it was the time to do something, but that is an egregious challenge to my mind of thinking. She wrote a letter ahead of time and had a preconceived idea of the potential outcome before she listened to the citizens have a chance to speak. That isn't acceptable to me. And I don't know what else would constitute a breach of trust by the citizens that you're going to listen to what I have to say if I'm coming to testify and not have a preconceived idea about what the outcome's going to be. She didn't do that.
Or steer that outcome.
Yeah. She went in with a preset, determined outcome and agenda that I'm not criticizing where she went. It wouldn't matter. To me, it's a direct violation of trust of her duty. And, I'm going to propose that she be asked to step down from the Rural Planning Commission. And I don't know what other thing anybody else could do that would qualify as you're not doing it. And I raised this issue, and she completely denied it as a breach of duty. And I'm like, then you just don't understand what your charge is here.
What is the process for that?
I don't know. I can figure that out.
I mean, that's the thing, because it's going to be a questionnaire. So, how do you arrive at this, and so on and so forth.
I don't mind articulating all of this in a letter that we potentially send to her, and that sort of thing. Obviously, we talked to legal about this. What I want to make sure everybody knows is they serve at the pleasure of the board. You're not granted this position in perpetuity, and that it's not guaranteed that you're going to have it for the duration of your term. You have to serve in the best interest of the county. She's serving in the best interest of part of the county who shares her opinion, and that isn't what you're charged to do. That isn't what we're charged to do. And I think we do a really good job of listening objectively, like we did yesterday as a prime example. And that's not what she did. Given that aside, my experience has been that Ward has tried to listen to those things objectively, and as far as experience, there isn't anybody who's on the Rural Planning Commission whose actual personal experience with all of these things, and he knows the RLDC and the comprehensive plan really, really well.
I can support that.
I can appreciate if you guys think the cloudiness of sometimes of his political perspectives, but I also am looking to try to achieve balance of perspective on the Rural Planning Commission with the members we currently have.
So I just need to bring up, I do have an 11:45 that I don't want to reschedule. Okay. I've already rescheduled my 11.
I have a question about Mr. Rocketa. Does he have anything in the works right now that the Planning Commission is going to have to hear in the next?
I'm not aware of anything. He has applications at the planning office, but those don't go before the Rural Planning Commission unless his applications are appealed. And in that case, he obviously has to recuse himself.
Okay.
So he has to recuse himself.
I just didn't know if he had anything active going in that.
He has that storage unit application.
Constantly got something in the weeds, and that's what I was wondering, if it was something that the Planning Commission is going to have to worry about.
He needs to understand that there's a next step, and it's an obvious conflict of interest, and he would have to recuse himself.
So we have Ward Ockenden on the chopping block, or
he's my
podium.
Recommendation.
Filling the slot.
Commissioner Morgan?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, that's three of us.
Then there is a backup open.
There's an alternate.
Yeah, there's an alternate,
seat.
Yes.
I have two applications that could possibly fill that. And I think I'd frankly like to hold off until we make the decision
okay
about
the other
Christina. because some of these people, their understanding is fairly shallow, so they'd be great in an alternate spot for the next year. But putting them directly into a Rural Planning Commission slot without having that opportunity to kind of sit in the wings, that's not going to work.
So who would be your alternate?
I'm going to hold off on making that recommendation.
We don't have two openings?
No, we have
one opening.
One opening as an alternate.
I'm good.
We could have the potential for another opening.
Yes.
In response to a letter.
And I want
to
make sure that I'm looking at filling that alternate spot with the right person who can take the job
tomorrow. Have you interviewed that other candidate?
Short conversation that needs follow-up.
Okay.
That's one of the reservations, too, for
some. Okay, so
I was concerned about the references.
Yeah.
You want to hold off on the alternate at this time?
Yeah, if we can just fill the slot so they can go do their work, I think we're good to go.
So. Okay. Commissioner Morgan, you okay with holding off on the alternate? Okay, we'll hold off on alternate. Thank you. And Ward Ockenden on this as a member. Okay, moving along to 6B, moving of cabinets from old patrol headquarters to new patrol headquarters for sheriff's request. And the sheriff wants to take cabinets that are over here, not in use anymore, and move them over there to save having build cabinets and whatnot. And I'm going to be okay with that.
So I need to take a look.
I think we need to have
a strong history of sheriffs reappropriating assets that are fixed assets.
I want to talk to Ryan when he gets back also to see how long it takes to move.
Are they
all
talking
that.
About things affixed to the walls?
Yeah. I haven't been down there to see it, but that's why I want to go down and visit with Ryan. I want his opinion.
And in what sections?
I really want his opinion on it because he's the guy's going to have to do the job. It looks easy.
It does.
But
the practical
I'm not doing
application
it.
Of having to refigure over there,
we
have to accommodate.
I don't want to pull them out of here and find out they're 2.5 inches too tall, and now we got to cut them out down or raise the ceiling or whatever. I think we need to have facilities take a look at that on that map. So if that's okay, we'll have Ryan. And Ryan won't be here probably until next week sometime, but I'll try to follow up on that next week.
Perfect.
Okay. Matters from commissioners, item C. Anything?
Quick. I would recommend that we invite planning as part of our regular administrative thing twice a month.
Invite
you? Planning, code enforcement.
Okay.
I'd like a report. If it's executive session, if it has to be, I don't care. But I want a regular bi-monthly report on code enforcement.
I think that's a great idea, an update. I think that's really important.
I thought we were already supposed to be doing that, and I thought it was almost supposed to be weekly or monthly or something.
I thought it was monthly, and she would bring us a list of her spotlight.
The last time we did it, we were clear that we didn't want the paper printed like this. We wanted the list, we wanted the points, and we wanted to move quickly.
So we can decide a priority as to
correct.
What, yeah, my,
I but we wanted
I'll
to
make
be moving
that happen.
On.
Okay. So when we get back, we will do that. I wanted a plan for the Merlin Sidewalk Project. I think we've got one. I think it's an achievable strategy. If we lean into it, we can get there. Wolf Creek Parade, I don't think I'm going to be able to attend. But I look at the time that I'm going to need to be at the Walden, it's an invitation only, and it's focused on ONC.
No, you got to be
it's
there.
The Cascade Cystic Crest expansion.
You know, we don't really have to do it. I think everyone thought it would be a good idea, but I think it would be.
I'm okay not. I have two other things I have a conflict with that I'm already debating on how do I get back in time for two other events.
Okay, let's just scrub it. If we're going to be rushed and everything, I think it would be the value in going up there would be to hang around afterwards and everything else. But we don't have to be at the Wolf Creek Parade. That would be okay. All righty?
Great.
Okay.
Because that would have been something that I would have had to make time to do also. So,
and I don't mind doing that. I think that.
No,
shows,
I think it's important.
You know,
I also think there's going to be eight other candidates in it, and I don't want to blend in.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want it to be too political. That's the
exactly. I don't want to make political out of an Easter deal. So we're going to scratch the Easter parade. That sounds good.
It almost be. I think
the code
of this in the Merlin sense. You know, just being there. Yeah. Maybe we don't have a float, but we walk. We walk around? I don't know. I don't like parades. I never have. But if you're not in it, and your candidate, your opponent is when you're a candidate, I know what I meant to say, is that we have got to have, by the end of next week, I want a calendar that says when we're going to get out to these places.
I think that's more
along the lines of what we should be doing. And so
we should
be
pile on while we're out of town, Commissioner DeYoung.
We would like, getting back to our meetings, as we always promise we're going to get out there. I think we need to say, okay, August meeting or September's meeting is going to be in Williams, so they can plan on that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something like that. But right during harvest time.
Jumping out to these places and spending a little bit of time out there.
Yeah.
So, and I think from my perspective, we sold a levy jointly with the sheriff. It is high time that they get a report card. Mm-hmm. And so I think for the next year, it doesn't have to happen always this way, but the sheriff needs to be in tow.
Yep, exactly.
And having a meeting this afternoon about the animal patrol officers.
Exactly. And maybe Jim Goodwin, too, because I think, you know, the juvenile shelter and detention facility is key to the whole portfolio. So
how are we
that should be our charge of mm-hmm. we're here to hear from you and to say this is where we're at progress-wise.
Yep, great idea. Okay. And I think code enforcement would welcome direction.
They want
I
to.
Really do. I think she would like some funneling down of it. And coming from the board, I think she would appreciate that.
I had
that.
More, but she's short of time, and we've got
okay.
more.
Okay, are you ready, Joe?
Can you cover government affairs on Monday?
Beg pardon?
Can you cover the government affairs chamber meeting at 7 on Monday?
7 a.m.? Yeah, I'll just go. Just make sure that the girls know about it, and I'll just get up early and go down and have breakfast.
Okay, the other one is I was going to cover the manager's meeting on Monday, but we'll be at the AOC Health and Human Services meeting. So it's your normal rotation. It just said that I would be attending, but so I'm having them take out.
I did one.
Yep.
A month ago.
Yep.
How did I do that one?
You were covering.
You were filling my spot.
I was covering, so it's my normal rotation. So now I get covered last time, now it's rotation this time.
You don't have to go. The only reason the board should ever go to those things
is if we have something that we have something to display.
So I just won't be there, so I just bring it to your attention.
It might be a good time to just, you know, pop in about budget. The budget's coming up, and so they're aware, but I think they're
all aware. My thing, I think, is that I haven't felt as though programs are doing their five-year vision. That is part of this budget process. It doesn't have to be due when the budget's due. It just has to be done by the budget. You know what I mean? I will be upset if we go out of this budget cycle and June 30th passes and we don't have a very clear direction from every program.
At the Merlin Parade, if we want to do the Merlin Parade, maybe we can get Bobby Copeland to give us one of his trucks to ride in.
You're so bad. All right, so let's get moving. I just wanted to bring those meetings to your attention.
So we're all set and on. Okay, Governor Fair. Got it. Got that, Ricky?
I'm sure.
We'll follow up.
Yeah.
Got it, girl. Okay, are we ready to dive into item number 7, which is the executive session? Today is Thursday, March 29th. 2018 at 11:36 a.m. The Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session to review the agenda item 7A, draft RFP for public health, ORS 19266-02F. No decision may be made at executive session. At the end of each executive session, the board will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 11:37. We are back in session at 11:49, and Commissioner Morgan will give us a summary and rundown of what we just discussed.
I'm going to make a motion that the board approve the RFP for public health services to move forward for release on Monday. There's some program edits that need to be wrapped up by this afternoon, and authorizing Commissioner Morgan, Director Weber, and Assistant Counsel Harper to work out those details, so long as it's not changing scope and policy.
I'll second that.
I third that. Yes. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. 3-0. So, with that, thank you both of you very much.
Thank you for your patience and your
work. Boy, oh boy, it's been a long haul, carrying a lot of water. Thank you very, very much. This is going to be exciting moving forward. So,
yes.
Thank you very
much. Dovetailed with this, we need a strategy of, you know, rolling it out. And I think we need to talk about it. You know, what is, we put in specifically originally in the beginning, the scope. So when
somebody has a question about what, why, how, look on page 4 or whatever it was.
I'll review that one more time.
We need a press release assigned to this, I think, when we release it on Monday so that it answers most of those questions. And I think until that happens, probably shouldn't say too much about it. We don't want to mess up the RFP process by somebody getting information before they should. So that's what I'm suggesting.
Mm-hmm. Great. We'll be working on this today.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Short and sweet. The other thing that dovetails with that doesn't necessarily concern me, so if that's okay. It dawned on me that we used to talk about the executive session privileges and who has the authority to say something outside of executive session. It used to be part of the language that I, and we'll get that. Right. And I think that would help you in your effort, to all of us, to try to refine what's discussed. The board is the only, they're the only people who have the authority to talk about what happened in executive session. If you don't need permission, we would like you not to say it. But there have been, you know, you are equal. Everybody is. And we just try not to say something that puts the county at liability. So I think if we say that every time, it would be reinforced.
Sounds good. Anything else
no.
for the board?
Good meeting.
Okay, we are adjourned at 11:51.
Thank you.